Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, it's December 20th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia sports fans are being forced to make last-minute changes due to a COVID-19 outbreak affecting multiple sports teams this weekend. The Philadelphia 76ers struggled to find 8 available players, which led to the postponement of Sunday's game against the New Orleans Pelicans. 3 games in all were postponed Sunday, with the Cavaliers-Hawks and Nuggets-Nets contests also being called off because of COVID-19 issues.
Preston, how's your jump shot?
Put me in, Cody.
Monday's Magic Raptors game and Tuesday's Wizards Nets game was also postponed. The Philadelphia Eagles were forced to move Sunday's game to Tuesday due to an outbreak impacting the Washington football team. 23 Washington players were unavailable due to COVID-related issues, including both the starting and backup quarterbacks. Sources tell ESPN this is optimism. There is optimism. The Sixers will be able to resume play in Boston tonight. League sources told ESPN earlier this week that the NBA and National Basketball Players Association were discussing a plan that would require teams decimated by COVID-19 to sign additional replacement players to avoid games being postponed.
It's weird because I thought the NFLPA, I thought they'd come to an agreement
that they weren't going to do this, right?
That they wouldn't do this, that you would have to forfeit a game, and I saw like documents signed as a result of this. And
I think the Players Association got involved and then they kind of caved.
I think part of it was if the outbreak was started from a player who was unvaccinated.
Yeah, and it was. Montez Sweat was unvaccinated.
So that is officially being said?
Well, that's what I had read.
What if the outbreak is from a vaccinated player? Is there a different protocol?
I guess from what Marissa's saying.
Well, so this was a big conversation between me and my friends in our tailgate. We had a friend who flew up from Florida. He bought a plane ticket just for yesterday. Our whole tailgate is blown up, obviously. We're a little mad, as you can tell. And the reason I say it, Casey, is because we weren't sure if the Washington football team is covering it up.
Yeah, and so who knows? And they're a shady organization to begin with.
Time for an investigative report.
Mm-hmm. But, and that was a discussion that I was having with my wife, and something that I hadn't considered early on was that, does the NFL, does Roger Goodell, do any of those a-holes consider the fans and the people, concession workers, do they consider any of those people? Right?
But think about it. The big money, it's the big money players, and their representative got involved, which is why it's postponed.
The big money players' salaries are paid by the big money fans.
But I'm saying that's why it was all postponed, because you're right. It was they were not going to do this. You were going to have to forfeit the game, and all of a sudden that went away.
May I offer you a ray of light to all this? With the additional time, one could conceivably construct a gingerbread studio.
$500.
Enter a contest. I don't know if that helps you, if it makes you feel better, but that's an option.
Guys, cover your ticket price.
We got lots of good submissions over the weekend.
Good.
Okay.
Yay! All right.
Well, that's good news.
We got ourselves a contest.
Yeah. We needed a weekend for people to work on it.
There's a Flyers game scheduled for tomorrow night. Yeah. That's supposed to happen at the Wells Fargo Center.
Well, listen, there was also supposed to be a Sixers game last night.
True.
You know, so that whole... there's two,
they dance my square dance.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Not because of COVID, it's because no one really likes to square dance.
Okay. It's the Tuesday before Christmas, and sure, everybody's just free. Maybe there's a pickle event happening.
That was canceled, too.
Oh, it was canceled?
I was so excited for you because I don't know why I was. I mean, obviously, I want to see you have a good time, but I'm like, this one in particular is like, if ever there was an event invented for Preston, the pickle event.
I may do my own version of that, but on Christmas Eve. You know what I mean? So at home. So, well, you saw it. You and everything, Marissa?
I looked over,
you can't.
I was invited.
The night before pickle.
Well, because the night before pickle. Well, traditionally, the eat 7 fishes is Christmas Eve, right? Yeah. So, I was thinking about sticking with that tradition, but I don't know.
There's a lot of...
How about pickled herring? You can have the fish and the pickle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Parker will not be invited to this party.
Oh, God, no. Oh, my God.
At his own home.
He'll leave the house.
Okay, lingering COVID-19, the pandemic has put a strain on schools across Pennsylvania, and it has specifically increased the need for substitute teachers. Governor Tom Wolf says that's why he signed a bill to address that need for the rest of the current school year and for the next school year. Among the changes, retired teachers are now eligible to fill teacher vacancies on emergencies or short-term basis. Schools can use eligible college students and recent graduates of education programs to serve as substitute teachers. Educators with active Pennsylvania certificates and those with comparable out-of-state certificates can serve as day-to-day substitutes for 20 days, no longer under certain certain circumstances. And then teachers with inactive certificates may substitute for 180 days instead of the 90 days per school year.
And also, if you can just drive to the school.
Listen, this is like a huge problem.
They have no substitute teachers. Yeah, yeah.
Individuals who are 25 or older. Wait, this is Steve. You said, okay, here. This is if you can drive to the school. Okay. Individuals who are 25 or older have at least 60 college credits or 3 years of experience as a paraprofessional and complete training on classroom management may serve as a classroom monitor by delivering pre-planned assignments for a teacher. So basically, you could go give the teachers the plans for the day and then be a substitute teacher.
Wow.
We should. My name
is Mr. Lowell. Yeah.
We should take a day. We should all go
teach
a
class.
Somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Only if they allow me to return spitball fire.
Right.
The teacher's using a straw to spit paper right, at yeah. us. From big box to mom and pop, retailers are preparing for the wave of last-minute holiday shoppers this week. According to the National Retail Federation, shoppers plan on spending just under $1,000 on gifts for themselves and family this holiday season.
Where do you guys stand as far as your gift buying?
I got like one more thing.
Yeah,
easy one. I'll probably stop off on the way home where I need to go, and that's it. I'm pretty much done.
Yeah, I probably could have gotten more done on Saturday. I took my son and I got our haircut. And then
Christmas shopping.
Well, no, and then we went shopping afterwards.
Oh,
there was a setup to store. So I had him with me. Had I not had him with me, I actually would have been able to get some stuff done. But he was all he wanted to do was not do what we were doing.
Oh. We did a Saturday night. We did the full wrapping extravaganza.
All right, nice.
Got it done. Oh my God, I'm actually jealous
because I should have been done already, and I haven't even started the wrapping process.
Well, I always figure you're a machine.
But you know what, Steve? I'm doing what I do every single year, and I'm in the panic stage because I was done shopping like 2 weeks ago. So now I panic, and I'll go out this week and get all the last minute gifts that I don't need.
Nick, are you up to snuff?
Getting there. I mean, I most of the purchasing has been done. None of the wrapping has been done.
Claire, my wife, does a multi-stage wrapping process. There is the wrapping, there is the ribboning,
and then there's
the bowing.
Should Kathy and I come over this week?
Does she have a wrapping room?
She has a wrapping room.
Yeah.
We're coming over.
I want to come over. And I'll announce this here. I'm not using glitter wrapping paper this year because...
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, yeah. The tape just doesn't work. Uh-huh. And even the special glitter tape...
It's like taping sand. It won't work.
It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And I had to use bows on everything last year to keep it all wrapped because the tape just doesn't work.
That's right.
So I just thought I'd let you guys know that.
Thank you.
The Christmas miracle
this
in and
just
of itself.
This reporter would like to betray that I will no longer be using glitter wrap, as it is hard to apply adhesive to.
I got a card that had some glitter on it, and I was like, it sprinkles all over everything. It's the worst invention.
Just send those cards to the stripper in your life.
Right.
Otherwise, don't.
Glitter and Play-Doh never should have been invented.
God, yeah, I hate it. I love glitter, but I hate Play-Doh. Okay.
Shut your mouth.
Okay. I mean, it's fun to play with. It just gets everywhere.
All right, so shoppers are planning on spending just under $1,000 on gifts for themselves and the family this holiday season. It's an amount roughly on par with holiday spending 1 year ago, but some shoppers are definitely noticing the increased cost of some goods. Retail experts also noted a small decrease in those choosing to shop online versus in-store this year. As far as top holiday shopping destinations go, department stores still reign supreme. However, retail experts say there's a quarter of shoppers who prefer to shop small or local. The most sought items are electronics, followed by clothes and toys. Some retailers like Target have extended store hours starting this week to help shoppers check off their lists. In sports this morning. So as I mentioned, the Sixers weren't able to find 8 available players, and so last night's game against the New Orleans Pelicans was postponed. Andre Drummond and Shake Milton were placed on the NBA's health and safety protocols, while Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and Danny Green were also listed as questionable, but that was because of injuries. George Niang was already on the league's COVID-19 protocol. The Sixers are still scheduled to be on the road with a game in Boston against the Celtics tonight. Tip-off is at 7:30. The Flyers, who won again over the weekend, are 4-0-1 over their last 5 games. They're at home tomorrow night to take on the Washington Capitals. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock. And the Eagles and Washington were one of 3 games this weekend that were postponed because of COVID protocols. Cleveland and Las Vegas were forced to move their game from Saturday to tonight. And Seattle will play the Rams tomorrow night in Los Angeles. The Eagles will host Washington tomorrow night in rare Tuesday night game. Kickoff tomorrow night is scheduled for 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kath. Welcome back from the weekend. We have a short work week this week as we are bearing down on the holiday. And so that means we have a Word of the Week prize. It's only going to cost you 3 letters. That's it. So we have a night out and a show, an overnight, actually, in Atlantic City. We'll go see Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah.
April 1st at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino, and we'll get you a room for the night. So tickets are on sale now at HardRockHotelAtlanticCity.com. So we'll give that away. We'll get the letter of the day at the end of the program. We also have a guest on the show, Kristen Chenoweth.
Love her.
Will be on. I do, too. She's fantastic. Around 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to her about the movie National Champions, which is in theaters now. As Steve mentioned, the Gingerbread Studio Contest deadline is tomorrow.
Yes.
So we got to see those submissions in. I'd get them in today because tomorrow we're going to be quite busy. Obviously, we're doing the Christmas Miracle. So the last invites happen today. And that is it.
Yes.
We do it tomorrow. We are at Parks Casino. So I tell you what, we're going to give away 2 of those right now.
Oh! It's a Christmas miracle!
Yes, we'll take.
Yeah!
Callers 18 and 19 at 215-263-WMMR. And you will be invited to join us at Parks Casino tomorrow. You have to be at least 21 years of age. You can bring a friend, but only you will be qualified to end up on the podium if we draw your name at random and send you to Contestants Row to play in the Preston and Steve Trivia Contest that we have set up. And wear your Miller Lite ugly sweater, whatever kind of ugly sweater you want to. The grand prize we have this year, I really haven't touched on this much, but besides Miller Lite beer for a year, we have an outdoor viewing package that we are going to give away for the winner of the ugly sweater contest, and that includes a video projector, Miller Lite Philadelphia Eagles blanket, 2 Miller Lite lawn chairs,
wow,
and a Miller Lite cooler.
I didn't know that.
It's over a $500 value, which is a pretty sweet deal. And then we're going to have 5 runners-up that each get a Miller Lite 12-pack and a pair of tickets to the MMRBQ. So the sweater thing is a big deal.
And do the freaking sweater.
We would like to see you don your ugliest holiday apparel for tomorrow's live broadcast. So we'll do... I'll have 8 more pairs of tickets to give away through the course of the morning, so we will have your opportunity, but only call if you can indeed join us tomorrow morning, and we're looking forward to it. All right, with that, let's take a break. Come back in a second. The Entertainment Report is up with a holiday-themed studio, or stupid question, I should say, and a prize in conjunction with that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, the stupid question prize is $150 Fogo to Show gift card. Once again, giving those away. I love that. So, here you go. What are the 4 main food groups for elves? 215-263 WMMR. Let's even know the answer to that. What are the 4 main food groups for elves? Give us a call at 215-263-WMMR. We'll see if you get our prize. We'll go through some birthdays today. Monday, December 20th, include producer Dick Wolf, 75 years old.
Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Yeah.
And Law and Order SVU and Law and Order whatever.
Everything. If only he had a hit. If only he could. His shows tend to run 20 years.
Yep.
Plus.
Yep. Forever.
Yeah.
So he's turning 75. Big birthday for him today. We also have Steve Uri Geller. He's also 75 today. The psychic, supposed psychic.
His big thing, I remember when he first burst on the scene, Uri Geller can bend spoons with his mind. Mm-hmm. It's just a parlor trick. Yes. The Amazing Randy, called him out and showed that what a fraud he was. Mm-hmm. But he was, he's popular for a long time.
75 today. We also have from the Black Crowes singer Chris Robinson turns 55 years old today.
Was he married to Kate Hudson?
They were married. Yeah. they were officially married. They had at least one child. I don't know if they had more than one together or not. But yeah, they were going for a while. It was looking good, but ended up falling apart.
That's the rock lifestyle, man.
Yeah. Guy is a great singer, man. I'll hand it to him. He's got that blues, that rock blues voice down pat. He turns 55 years old today. Also in the world of music, Mr. Peter Criss of the band Kiss turned 76 years old today. Peter, when I was growing up, Peter was my favorite.
Was.
Because I'm a drummer.
Drummer, yeah.
And it was even before I really... Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm looking for I Want to Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day. I just don't know... How would you label that, Preston? How would you label that song?
Because I put rock and roll all night. I don't think I wanna is part of the part of the title.
God damn it.
Yeah, okay. It's rock and roll
I am
all
so
night.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I couldn't find it.
And I was a huge fan of Peter Criss. When given the chance to dress up as Kiss and put the makeup on, I would always do the cat face.
Did you ever go to a concert done up?
No. I only went to one concert.
Just one concert.
It was there. They put the makeup back on the first time out, and that's the only Kiss show that I ever went to. And let me tell you, it was freaking awesome. It was outstanding.
Was it you that was telling me that at a point during the show, like Gene Simmons points up and there's...
It was Ace.
Ace.
He'd play the guitar part, and he'd lean down, and he would point up. And a rocket shot off of his guitar.
A freaking rocket.
Exploded to where he was pointing. He did it twice. He did it from stage right, and then he went over to stage left, and he did it again. I'm like, okay.
It's hilarious. Right.
I am all in, dude. It was badass.
See you do that, Sarah McLachlan.
And they, I was disappointed with Peter Criss because he, like, just barely tapped the drums. I was expecting him to bash on
right,
and everything,
right,
and he was just, like, lightly touching them. But it sounded great. The explosions, the fire, the Gene, the spitting blood, flying up to all of it.
That's what you
was
want.
Outstanding. So I would watch them again if I had the opportunity, but it looks like I'm probably not going to. He is 76 years old today. Alan Parsons, the producer, engineer, and musician, is 73 years old today.
What's that joke in Austin Powers about the Alan Parsons
project?
Yeah. They're working on some project somewhere.
Dr. Evil was putting it together.
The name of that project is the Alan Parsons project.
And he was the engineer for Dark Side of the Moon, I believe.
I think you're right.
Pink Floyd.
So he worked with Pink Floyd.
And then he started to branch out and have his own stuff and wrote some, or actually, I guess, produced some great stuff. A few of the things they did were let me see. No, now I'm getting Manfred Mann mixed up with Alan Parsons Project. I was thinking of a couple of the Bruce Springsteen songs, but that was Manfred Mann.
Yeah.
Alan Parsons, some great songs.
Is the song like Eye in the Sky? Is that one of his?
Yeah, Eye in the Sky.
Eye in the Sky.
He was a producer on Abbey Road and Let It Be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just read that now. Yeah, and Dark Side, like you mentioned, Preston, yeah.
Talk about the greatest albums of all time.
Yeah.
73 years old today. Jonah Hill has his birthday. He's turning 38 years old.
Kind of looks like a surfer now.
Yeah, he's got kind of dreadish type hair, blondish, sun-bleached hair.
Looks like if Dog the Bounty Hunter had a kid.
21 Jump Street, Wolf of Wall Street, Getting to the Greek, Moneyball, 40-Year-Old Virgin, on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, he's great.
38.
Don't look up.
Yeah.
Yeah, when is that coming out?
It's in theaters and select theaters now, and then Netflix, I think, on Christmas Eve.
Okay. And then the last birthday, and I saved our favorite for last, Joyce Heiser. I'm just one of the guys.
Oh, man.
That's okay. That's not Joyce Heiser, but that is from the movie, Just One of the Guys. Is this also from that? You have anything else? Yeah, here we go.
Ring, 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 ring,
that you look so nice today.
There you go. That's Joyce.
Just that you look so nice today.
It's because he's a little tulip.
And she is 64.
I love that movie.
I do too.
It was one of the early, like, home box office movies, and it'd be on 44 times a day, and I'd watch it all the time.
I think it might have been the original Preston and Steve movie night movie.
It might have been. Yeah. We certainly loved it enough.
It might have been the first one. You know what? All right, let's see.
Just that you look so nice today.
If we can get an answer to the stupid question, what are the four main food groups for elves? 215-263-WMMR is the number. And we're going to go to Amanda to see if we can get the answer. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. Happy holidays, guys.
Same to you, Amanda. So do me a favor. Fire up those four main food groups for elves, please.
Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
Yep, you got it. Yep. Hang on. You just got yourself.
Oh, my God.
Not all that stuff, but all the meat you can handle, because we're going to give you a $150 Fogo de Show gift card. Fogo de Show is the best place to indulge for the holiday season, like their premium graded Wagyu New York strip, a great enhancement to the full Churrasco experience. You can make a reservation for Center City or King of Prussia at Fogo.com.
You know what I love? Meat.
There it is. All right. Oh, one more thing.
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
And that is it. Do you have the burp? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to hear that too. Because it's...
This is probably one of my favorite Christmas movies.
It is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
All right, at the box office this weekend, no surprise, Spider-Man No Way Home, $253 million. It did as big as they had hoped it would.
That's no pandemic level. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, yeah. People were just champing at the bit to get out and see that, and they did. Also, Encanto made $6.5 million.
So that's close.
Followed by West Side Story, Ghostbusters Afterlife, Nightmare Alley, House of Gucci, Eternals was seventh. Followed by Pushpa, The Rise, Clifford the Big Red Dog, and Resident Evil Raccoon City. All right, we're going to start with this story. Page Six reports that Chris Noth's wife, Tara Wilson, is, quote, not doing well in the wake of multiple sexual assault accusations made against her husband. There was, I think, three women who now officially come forward accusing the Sex and the City actor of sexual assault. One of the women also claimed that Noth said monogamy is, quote, a sham, while he was married, okay?
No wife likes to hear that.
A source told The Sun, he may be non-monogamous. We have established that his wife didn't know, if anything, guilty of that. She is in L.A. and is very upset. She is not doing well. They plan to spend Christmas together, but that is now unknown.
Oh, that's got to be a wonderfully awkward Christmas.
Yes.
More eggnog, sweetie pie?
In light of these accusations... A3 Artist Agency has dropped Noth as a client. The company that was planning to buy his tequila business has withdrawn their offers as of now.
Did you hear what he's losing?
No.
$12 million.
For?
The endorsement for the booze.
Oh, for the booze? Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah, he signed a big contract.
Wow. All right, we'll see how this stuff pans out. After stirring up tabloid headlines with the romance, Olivia Munn and John Mulaney have reportedly welcomed a baby boy last month. The couple, who have done their best to maintain the privacy since the news of their relationship broke, had kept the birth under wraps. Did I already report on this?
No. Okay, are they a couple still, or there were rumors that they broke apart?
You said
he was sort of intimating that it was maybe a mistake to leave rehab and get a child.
Yeah, but
cooking.
I haven't heard any more on that, that last rumor. But sources for TMZ did confirm that Munn gave birth on November 24th. I don't know how that high profile of a couple can keep that news quiet until now.
Well, I think because a lot of stuff is, they're not expected to go out. There have been restrictions and so on and so forth.
So easier to do that?
Sort of hide in the... lockdown.
God, but do you think a friend would slip or
somebody
like that?
Yeah. I don't know.
The child is the first for the couple, and his pending arrival was confirmed by Mulaney during an interview with his friend and late night host Seth Meyers. Mulaney and Munn's relationship started shortly, of course, after the stand-up comedian left a stint in rehab, and there has been speculation over the timing of their relationship in regards to his divorce from Anna Marie Tendler. But they had the baby, so...
I think if you're dealing with addiction, the best thing to do is to have a child, right?
Bring a child into the world. Why not? All right, so other interesting rumors. Well, actually, this is confirmed, but People reports that on Saturday night, Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson shared dinner and a movie in Davidson's native Staten Island. The pair were joined by Scott Disick.
Scott Disick? How exciting.
The trio got dinner together at a restaurant.
You guys want snow caps?
Called Angelina's before seeing Spider-Man No Way Home.
Twizzlers or Red Buns?
How does a Kim Kardashian go to a movie theater?
I don't know how that happened at all, not unless they called ahead and sort of had
rented out the entire theater.
It would have to be that, right?
But I didn't hear that in the reports that I read of this.
They didn't say it.
I didn't see that they'd rented out the entire theater.
Unless...
And in fact, they were seen kind of amongst people walking in to the multiplex.
Really? Yeah, which would be weird. You would think if they were going to go publicly that they would wait until after the movie starts.
Sneak in.
Have reserved seats. Bring them in.
Pardon me.
Mask on, costume. You know, right now you with the mask, you can possibly...
I don't know.
But people recognize me with the damn mask on.
I know.
Freaking Kim Kardashian.
Freaking Kim Kardashian.
Speaking of Spider-Man No Way Home, Zendaya and Tom Holland aren't the first pair of Spider-Man co-stars to begin dating off-screen, but that didn't prevent them from getting a lecture about it. E! News reports that Amy Pascal, producer of Spider-Man No Way Home, told New York Times that she took Tom and Zendaya aside separately when they cast them and gave them a lecture. She added that she told them, "Don't go there, just don't, try not to." And she said she gave the same advice to Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, but ultimately she said they all ignored me.
Well, weren't they a thing before the Spider-Man movies, Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield?
I don't know. I don't remember. I've lost track of the timeline.
I don't know, man. I try to keep track of who my Spider-Men are dating.
Yeah, but apparently these two are going great guns, and they're really happy with each other.
I think they're a great couple.
It'd be great.
I love her.
If they stuck it out and were successful as a couple, I do. Yeah, she's great.
If Hollywood's known for anything, it's successful relationships.
Yeah, you know. speaking of successful relationships... Let's head down the Bachelor path here. The Bachelor and Bachelorette, you're going to love this. In a bizarre turn of events, Hannah Brown's brother, Patrick Brown, is now engaged to her ex's ex, Haley Stevens.
Oh, my God. What about her sister? All right, do it again.
Hannah Brown's brother, Patrick, is now engaged to her ex's ex, Haley Stevens.
I love my sister. Mm. Wait, what?
According to Page Six... Patrick proposed to Stevens, the woman that Jed Wyatt was secretly in a relationship with when he proposed to Hannah at the end of her season of The Bachelorette on Saturday.
I think I accidentally banged my father. No.
But you love him.
I do love him, but not in that way.
Stevens posted...
Not from behind.
...to Instagram Sunday, I said yes to forever with my best friend.
Ah, this gets complicated. This is what happens when you go no further than your own home for dating.
Mm-hmm. Hannah told Us Weekly last month about his love life. I don't choose...
A love life.
She said, about his love life, I don't choose who my brother loves.
And
who he wants to be with. So, I guess they've gotten engaged.
I love you.
Yeah. Wow.
She is attractive. She is.
Who, Hannah?
Yeah.
Is that his... I don't think that's her.
Who's that? Patrick, the one with the beard.
That's Haley.
That's Haley. Oh. So that is her brother's ex.
What?
Is now in her... No, her Am brother is now myself? Engaged to her ex's ex.
Oh, okay.
Hannah Brown is gorgeous.
She is.
She's the one that I was kind of like, okay, I can maybe watch the show just to keep an eye on her for a little while. All right, so anyhow, that's gone.
It's magical.
Isn't it magical?
Around this time of year to hear about love that.
Yes. All right, I know you guys know this story, but just hours before Paul Rudd's fifth time hosting the show, Saturday Night Live canceled its live audience as well as its musical guest, Charlie XCX, which is, I assume, how you pronounce the name. According to People, SNL wrote on Twitter Saturday, due to the recent spike in the Omicron variant and out of an abundance of caution, there will be no live audience for tonight's taping of Saturday Night Live. And the show will have limited cast and crew. I know we have a clip.
Yes.
Right?
So Tom Hanks opened up the show, and they had a limited thing. But it was, again, it's a big landmark, a moment. It's you're entering the Five Club, And so Paul Rudd was entering. So
right.
he comes out, and then another special guest, a member of the Five Club, comes out, Tina Fey. And that, those are the clips that you have.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Hanks.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you. I'm Tom Hanks. Thank you, surviving crew members. Tonight, everyone at Saturday Night Live plan to do our big Christmas show and induct a new member into the Five Timers Club. But COVID came early this year. So in the interest of safety, we do not have an audience. And we sent home our cast, most of our crew, and I am not alone. Isn't that right, Tina?
Yes, I am here. And this is not the smallest audience I have ever performed for because I have done improv in a Macy's.
Yep. Tina, another five-timer. Thank you for joining me. As you know, I started the Five Timers Club.
Oh, like you started COVID.
Is it true? Because he was one of the first high-profile people to get COVID.
That's right.
And Rita Wilson.
So we have a clip of Paul.
Paul Rudd admits that it's a little disappointing that this is how he's entering the Five Club.
All right.
Yeah. Good to see you, kiddo.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thanks for coming. I'm extremely disappointed.
Oh, yeah, I know, buddy.
Look, it's not all that bad. People Magazine just named you the most sexist man of the year.
I think it was sexiest.
Okay, yeah. Right, okay.
Well, there was a whole show planned, and I just can't believe I'm not going to get my five-timer jacket.
Or will you? Here to bestow this great honor is Mr. Kenan Thompson.
Where's everybody?
Kenan, haven't you heard?
Heard what? About the thing that's going around?
Yeah, COVID.
Is that real?
Yeah, it's real.
I'm just kidding. Come on, man. We're having a good time.
So he got his five-timer's jacket.
He got it, yeah.
Nice.
It actually looks like a well-made jacket.
It does.
And then they had Steve Martin on a video welcoming him in, and he kept getting it wrong. They were dubbing. They kept dubbing over Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. And finally. But it was well done for what they were doing, and they were dealing with a lot of, you know, they only had two musicians from the band sitting behind them.
Right. So, well, they made it happen. The show must go on, so they did it. And Paul's got his five-timers club jacket now.
Yeah.
People reports, we'll stick with some of the COVID reactions. People reports that season 5 of The Crown wrapped early due to multiple cast and crew members testing positive for COVID-19. Netflix told Variety on Friday. The Crown finished filming one day earlier than planned for the Christmas break following a few positive cases within the team.
So do they start rushing their dialogue in particular scenes?
They just go really, really fast.
So I think that we just have them.
Thus ensuring other safety and so that everyone in production can enjoy a festive break with their loved ones, but only one day short, so not too bad.
So the
Queen. Yo, ever heard of Jerkmate?
Jeez, I'm sorry. Let me turn that down real quick.
Wow, the Jerkmate.
I didn't know I had my volume turned all the way up there.
One more time.
Yo, ever heard of Jerkmate?
Yo.
People who know what that is.
Yeah.
All
right. Another cancellation. I wanted to mention this. The Radio City Rockettes.
No!
I know. You know what? Yeah. Bizarrely.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to the Rockettes.
I've been a couple times.
Have you?
It's a lot of fun. It's great.
It looks fun.
It's awesome.
Isn't it right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the Living Nativity.
So the latest casualty of the sweeping COVID-19 surge to disrupt Manhattan's bustling live performance industry.
Can't they have them 6 feet apart?
Friday, it would stretch the entire length of Broadway. So adding to the growing list of Broadway show cancellations, the Christmas Spectacular starring the Radio City Rockettes.
And this is a huge week. I mean, that's one things. You go to see the tree and the Christmas Spectacular and the Rockettes. The Living Nation. Nativity.
They had initially. What's the Living Nativity?
They bring out actual animals onto the stage.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Initially, they announced cancellations of its Friday performances due to breakthrough infections among the crew.
I didn't know there was a platypus at the Nativity.
Later in the evening, the production announced that the show would stop entirely for the rest of the 2021 season.
Sometimes they get the animals wrong, I have to admit.
They said, we regret that we are unable to continue the Christmas Spectacular this season due to increasing challenges from the pandemic. We had hoped that, that we could make it through the season.
Is that a shark?
And are honored to have hosted hundreds of thousands of fans at more than
100 shows over the last 7 weeks. That's like in Love Actually. Remember, there's a kid dressed as an octopus.
Right. Yeah.
At the end of the movie. So.
Right.
But anyway, someday, I'll go see The Rock.
You know
I would like to see it.
Cheesy and wonderful.
How long of a show is it?
It's about 7 hours.
No, that's what I was wondering.
It's about 2 hours.
Is it that long?
Yeah, I was
thinking maybe an hour.
Singing and stuff.
An hour and a half
maybe
or something
a little
like
shorter,
that.
Yeah. I knew it went pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't care how... You might be dragged to it. Once you go in and see it happening on the stage, you're going to love it.
Yep. All right, and then one more thing. Trevor Noah has filed a lawsuit against a New York City-based orthopedic surgeon.
This is a weird story.
And hospital after an alleged botched operation that took place last year. The Daily Show host filed a complaint last month citing negligence after having serious personal injuries upon his recovery from surgery. He alleges that such ailments left him rendered sick, sore, lame, and disabled. This is, you know, lawsuit language.
Yeah. Right, right.
So he further claimed that he also sustained a severe nervous shock, mental anguish, severe emotional distress, and great physical pain.
Throw in impotence.
Recovery, noting that he was confined to bed and home for a long period of time and has been prevented from engaging in his usual occupation. The documents also allege that since some of his injuries are of a permanent nature, he will continue to suffer similar damages in the future. But they did not indicate the detail of the type of surgery.
So this guy apparently is like a works with shoulder and elbow and knee injuries.
Okay.
So that's his specialty, joint stuff.
Yeah.
So, and what Trevor Noah is saying is that... he has really significant continuing issues after whatever procedure was done on him.
Right. Okay. So. In response to the comedian's suit, the hospital has denied any claims of wrongdoing. So we'll see if that goes anywhere. All right. We're ready for clips. Seriously?
Yeah, I'm having one of those mornings.
That's all right, man.
Play Jerkmates again.
Yeah, ever heard of it?
Yo, ever heard of Jerkmate?
Forgot to change the page on my...
All right, so we're going to start with this.
Yo.
American Underdog. Follow the true inspirational story of Kurt Warner, who overcomes years of challenges and setbacks in his NFL career. And in this clip, Zachary Levi talks about what he wanted to bring to his character. Here we go.
I just wanted to bring as much authenticity. I didn't really want to add anything because I knew that if I added anything, that would be me on top of whatever Kurt was. I just was trying to grab as much of his essence as I could, you know, and in the short amount of time that we even had to ramp up this film, I got a couple days to hang out with him and Brenda. Then they were on set with us a lot of the time, which was great.
Beep, beep, toot, toot, yeah. Was he on coke when he was doing that?
I love Zachary Levi.
He's great.
He just seems like the greatest guy. American Underdog is in theaters on Saturday.
It looks like it's going to be terrible, but I'm going to watch it anyway because I love the story. I think it's just,
a lot of people said it looks like a big, glossy sort of manipulative thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, those if it's done right.
Like The Blind Side.
Like The Blind Side.
It was done well, but
yeah.
You could tell they really... Right. They really sugarcoated a lot
sure.
of it and did that. But that's what you do with these inspirational
right.
stories and make them... You
don't know. Make them like Taxi Driver.
Right, right. next clip. Neo, who is played by Strange Memories, takes an unexpected turn when he finds himself back in The Matrix in The Matrix Resurrection. In this clip, Carrie Ann Moss talks about what gave her a sense of nostalgia in this film.
I think just sitting across from Keanu, Trinity sitting across from Neo, that the nostalgia of what we've done together and this journey we've been on together, it just really hit me. Hit me that we're here now and we're bringing all this experience to this moment. And yeah, it's moving.
Shut up, dummy.
Matrix Resurrection in theaters this Wednesday. I'm hoping for good things.
Advance word is good.
Oh, excellent. Good.
And that they reset it the right way.
I love it. Absolutely love it. You know what? We have some screening passes. Actually, Casey just pointed to this sheet of paper, which has some slots that we can put some names on. So let's take callers 10, 11, and 12, and we will give you some passes to see it. Is this tonight?
It's tonight.
What?
Damn tonight.
All right, at 7 o'clock at the Philadelphia Film Center. All right, so you need to be able to go to that location tonight at 7 o'clock. So whatever number of callers I said, 215-263-WMMR. My short-term memory is horrible.
Is it 10, 11, 12?
Yeah.
All right.
It is now.
It is. And so it opens in theaters and streaming on HBO Max on December 22nd. So there you go. It's going to be streaming too? Awesome. Yeah. I love that. All right. What else did I want to mention? There was something I know I wanted to say before we take a break. But
so much going on now.
There is a lot happening. We'll do Christmas Miracle Passes this morning. Kristen Chenoweth is going to be on the show as well. We have a new Word of the Week prize, all that stuff. So we are born anew. I know what I was going to say.
What?
It's a gorgeous sunrise.
Yeah.
This morning. Got a crystal clear sky. It looks really, really pretty. It's a little bit on the colder side, but at least we have sunshine all day long. We'll be back in just a moment, so make sure you hang out with us.
What's new?
Why do you ask?
Foo Fighters. Lilith Czar. Code Orange.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I'm going to tell you the tale. I'm going to tell you the tale of a sad young man who's had a tough run at luck lately.
Yeah.
And the...
well, I think, in a way, this all goes back to Henry Ford, doesn't it?
I don't know, man.
Kind of.
Casey has just had this series of just lousy things happen. And by lousy, I mean funny lousy things.
Funny lousy, yeah.
Not deadly.
I'm okay.
Yes.
He's all good. And listen, I am a fellow of this as well, because I have had... It seems that stupid things come in a series.
Yes.
Okay, so you will do something stupid, or at least I do, and from time to time, you'll do like three or four of these things in a row and go, the hell's going on?
Yeah.
What is wrong with me? Casey?
Yeah.
Sound coming from? What was the first event that happened?
The first event was at my daughter's basketball game. I think it was either a Monday or a Wednesday night of last week. Went into the game. I was in the gym for over an hour. And then I come out of the gym and I see that my headlights are on. I had not only left my headlights on, I had left my car running in the parking lot for an hour plus while I was in watching her basketball game.
All right. Okay. The car running for an hour plus.
By the way, there is a common thread with all of these things, by the way.
Casey texts us and tells us that. And then the next one.
The next one was I went to the gym last week. I went into the gym and, you know, listen, man, I work out hard, right?
So you bring it. I mean, yeah. You empty the tank, bro.
I empty the tank. So I was in the gym for an hour plus.
Yeah.
I walk out of the gym and I notice as I'm walking to my car that my tailgate is up. I had left the tailgate open in my car, of my car, in the parking lot.
So you have an SUV, so the whole back end is wide open.
It's an Outback, right?
Okay,
The tailgate goes up
all right.
As I'm walking, I'm like, God, please don't have anything stolen. But also, I'm so embarrassed because the back of my car is so messy right now.
Right.
And so
you're displaying your garbage and everything. Yeah.
It's horrendous.
It's a disaster.
And then...
Hang on. Do you think if a thief saw that, like, walked by and saw how messy it was, they'd be like, you know what? I'm going to go to the next car. I'm not going to bother stealing.
There was a lot of stuff in there, man.
All right.
And then my favorite one.
Yes.
Just happened.
Yesterday.
Yes.
And I don't even think I gave you all of the details.
Okay.
But I went to the Acme, and I'm leaving the Acme. I'm at the traffic light leaving the shopping center, and I just kind of look at my rearview mirror. I'm like, wow, that's awfully clear and clean. I go, I left my tailgate open. So I'm driving out of the Acme parking lot with my tailgate wide open, and thankfully it was a red light, so I get out of the car and I look at the lady behind me and I'm like, oh my god, what does this lady think of me? And I go around and I'm like, oh my god, like all the cases of soda that I bought are completely gone.
Everything that you purchased slid out the
everything
back.
That I purchased, all right, so not all the important stuff, just the soda. So I close the tailgate, and then I look to the car next to me, the left turning lane, because I'm in the right lane.
Right.
And I'm like, can you let me in front of you? Because I have to do a U-turn to go back into the lot. I go back into the lot, and I go into my spot where I'd come out of, and there is a mother and a son, and like the cart guy.
Yeah.
And the cart guy has a shopping cart that is full of open cans.
Oh, no. They came out of the box?
They came out of the box. Oh, nothing exploded.
Right.
Nothing exploded. And they're like, oh, my God, well, thank God you came back here. She's like, we were yelling at you. And I had, this is what I have to tell you what the common thread of all three of these occurrences was. I had my earbuds in. And
there you go. There you go.
When I left my car running in the car, I had started a phone call. And so when I got out of the car, I had my earbuds in and I was on the phone. I wish I could remember who I was talking to. So I wasn't paying attention to me not turning the car off or anything along those lines.
Why do you have your earbuds on in the car?
Well, so with, I started a phone call. And I can't hear that great on this phone, so I put, when I want to make a phone call, I put earbuds in so I can hear better.
In the car?
Will it switch over to the system in the car?
No. Okay. Because my car is only, it only switches over when the phone is plugged in. Phone was not plugged into a thing.
I don't think, I think that's actually illegal, no?
It is.
I was not driving. I parked. I was parked in the parking lot.
No, but I'm saying to wear earbuds.
Probably. Okay. Whatever. So, well, time out.
All right.
I was only doing it illegal one time. I parked the car. I started a phone call. I got out of the car and I left the car running. When I got to the gym, I'm getting all situated. I like to listen to the headphones at the gym. I parked the car. Okay. I grab my earbuds, I put my earbuds in, I turn my music on, then I get out of the car, and then I get all the stuff out of the back of the car. Now, I like to shop while listening to music with my earbuds, and so when I had gotten into the car yesterday, I was already listening to music, so I had had, Kathy, that was the only illegal one, is that when I was driving out of the Acme. So when the lady was yelling at me, I couldn't hear her because I had my music playing.
Couldn't hear her.
Okay, so here's what I want to do.
Okay.
I want to help him feel better, and I have my own story to share. But here's what I'd like to do. I want to put it out to the audience. If you indeed did something stupid as well this weekend, call us at 215-263-WMMR to do a little therapy on Casey.
I want to hear what you have to say. Yeah. In every one of these cases, were you able to hear the car warning? You would have been able to hear the car running without the earbuds in, right?
Uh-huh.
You would have been able to hear that your hatch was up. Wouldn't there be some sort of warning?
No, not necessarily a warning, but...
But you'd be able to hear the ambient sound of the open road behind you.
My car, like, screams at me if that... Because I've pulled out with the trunk open, and it's like the loudest piercing noise, and obviously you know something's wrong.
Casey's has an alarm, too, but you didn't get to hear this.
Yo, ever heard of jerkmate?
He thought it was something else.
I have heard of jerk meat.
No, with the car running and leaving the car tailgate open while I went into the gym, the only thing I would have heard was my car beep when I locked it, beep. Didn't hear that.
All right, so let's review real quick. Yeah. Casey left his car running for an hour when he went inside. Casey then left his tailgate open for an hour when he went inside. And then he left his tailgate open with groceries in the back, driving away, and they all fell out. All the soda did and spilled out all over the road. So that was his stupid thing. Me, and I texted in our text chain to make Casey feel a little bit better. This happened over the weekend. I went to make a cup of coffee, one of the first things I do in the morning when I get up on the weekend.
Right.
So I go over to the Keurig machine, put it in, boom, start the coffee, walk away, go over to get creamer, whatever, maybe prep something that I'm going to have to eat. I come back over, and I notice that I started the Keurig machine, but I did not put a coffee mug underneath.
Oh, my God.
How long? Catch said coffee. What?
Right. How long did you leave it running for?
The whole cup.
Yeah.
The whole thing. All right. So it was a single service, you know, 12 ounces or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all over the place. I'm like, son of a bitch. So I clean it up and get that done. I go over, get everything done. I take out the used Keurig thing. There's a waste of cup of coffee. Throw that away. Get another one. Put it in. Boom. Start the Keurig machine. Walk away.
No. When you said twice, I thought you were like, oh, twice in like a couple of days.
No.
No, right there.
Back to back immediately.
That's great.
You know?
You just want to, like, you want to blame someone else, but you can't.
You can't.
Someone else.
Do you remember what was the more, so in your mind, you go, God, I forgot the goddamn cup. Now, as you were, something must have distracted you
from putting the cup in the second time, which would be the most important thing to do. Can you go through your thought process?
I think there was a break in the space-time continuum.
There must have been.
And my consciousness was fast-forwarded 30 seconds.
Right.
I had no time to react to it.
That's hilarious. Twice.
I'm like, you know, I'm standing there in front of my son. I did this, okay? My progeny. And I'm supposed to be, you know, a role model for this child.
When stuff goes south, go to dad. He's got it.
Oh, my God. He's like, Dad, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, my.
I like it this way.
Yeah. Two times in a row, back to back, right there. And I've done that before, not the two times in a row, but I've done one time I put the coffee mug upside down on there.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
Right.
I've got a thing. I don't know what it is.
I think it's the time of year. Like, I think everybody
I almost texted to Casey, dude, Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think people are just so busy and stressed and it's hectic and you're just, you know, Casey's on the phone talking to somebody. Like, it's just, you're not thinking clearly and you're doing stupid things like this.
Yeah. All right. Let's have some company here.
Right.
All
right. It'll make you feel better.
I'm going to go to Joe. Hi, Joe. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, man? So we need some help with some stupid things that we've done.
Yeah. Well, it's 'tis the season, so, you know, this weekend we were baking cookies. And I'm helping my wife. And she's mixing the dough in the fancy KitchenAid mixer, and she finishes mixing everything. And I'm standing next to her at the stove. And instead of her scraping the dough out of the bowl, she flips it upside down, and she smashes it on top of the ceramic kitchen oven top, and the whole top shattered.
Oh, so this was to try and get the leftover dough out? She was, like, slamming it down?
She thought she was going to do it on the counter, but she decided to do it over the stove and shattered the whole stove.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, man.
So we were out of stove all weekend.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And as I saw her doing it, I saw her doing it. It was going slow motion.
Yeah.
I could do.
And could she explain why she decided to do that? She probably couldn't.
She said she's done it before and it worked.
So yeah.
Oh, well, sure. There.
Well, listen, on the plus side, now you have a good Christmas gift idea for her. A new stove.
Need to go get a new stove.
Right, yeah.
Right. All right. Well, let's do that. All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Let me go to Laura. Hey, Laura. Good morning.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
Nah, it's all right. We want it. What's your story?
It's funny that you say, like, what's the stupid thing you did this weekend? Because it's basically my entire life.
Okay.
But you were talking about the Keurig, and I put an entire pitcher of water. It said, add water to the Keurig, but I didn't take the freaking lid off.
Oh.
So I was just dumping, like, a pitcher, like an iced tea pitcher full of water onto my countertop, all over everything. And it's like the other guy said, you're like watching in slow motion. You're like watching it happen and watching it not go into the thing. And you just keep dumping it.
So the simple thing of taking the lid off to pour it in, that eluded you.
That's it.
It's the most important part.
Like, yes.
Yes.
That's the only way you can fill up something is if it's open.
That's the type of thing that I would do.
Yeah. Just,
yeah.
I love that. That's a great story. I love your story of putting the mug under the Keurig upside down.
Upside down.
What?
And it's got writing on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got some kind of little phrase.
Why is this writing upside down?
You know, it's a novelty mug. It's written on there upside down.
That's a good one.
Isn't that great? Let me go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, bud. So can you tell us something so Casey and I don't feel so stupid?
So this weekend, it was actually yesterday morning. I usually sleep in on Sundays. This morning, I decided, I'm going to get up early and get some stuff done today. So I have a remote start on my car, remote started it, walk out, put my key in the ignition, did not realize that my door had locked when I started. I pressed the lock button on my key fob, and I left my car running outside for probably an hour and a half while I waited for AAA to come get me.
Okay.
And on top of that, AAA, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
AAA went to my personal house. I was staying at a friend's house.
Oh, my God.
So you didn't even give him the right address?
No, they never asked it for me.
No, they so just, I, yeah, your account, just your account is registered with them unless you specify other.
Yeah, they went to my home address. They're like, oh, is this your address? I was like, no. And then the line just went blank. And I was like, okay, we'll send someone out. I'm like, all right.
Let me ask you, so how did you do, you locked the keys in your car after starting it with the remote start?
I have a remote start on my key fob.
Right.
And it was pretty chill yesterday, so I used it. And I guess when I went to turn the key in the ignition, I hit the lock button on the fob. So it locked all my doors, and I went to go grab something out of my back seat and shut my front door.
There
so
you
what
go.
Did AAA do? Did they end up going to your house?
Yeah, they went to my house. Like, it said, like, a two-hour wait. I'm like, okay, so I'm sitting at my friend's house with my car running outside.
God,
and I look at the tracker. It's like, okay, it'll be there in 5 minutes. And I go look at the tracker, and I'm like, wow, my car is not where I'm currently at.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, that's a good one.
Thanks, yeah. Ryan. I appreciate it. Okay, Casey and I were reading line two here.
I can't stop laughing.
I can't wait to hear this. Hi, Jared. Good morning.
Hey, Godzooks,
man. Okay. I hope this lives up to what I'm reading here on our call screener. Can you tell us the stupid thing that you did?
All right. So this was a couple of weeks ago. It was a long day at work. I had to leave early from out of town. I get home, get everything ready. We have to go to a funeral. Well, we're on our way to the funeral. I drive right past the funeral home. My wife yells at me. I turn around, go in. We go through everything. My daughter didn't get a nap, so she was a wreck. So we're in line for the funeral procession, and I'm like fourth car in line.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going, and my daughter's just having a screaming match, and my wife's just out of it. Well, me not thinking, I completely forgot I was a part of this. So I made a right to go home, and I messed up the whole funeral procession.
Everybody followed you. The entire funeral procession. You've forgotten you're going to the funeral. You're going to the burial.
Yes.
And you take everybody to your house.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
You get so...
I got pretty much there, and my wife started screaming at me.
Oh, no.
How many cars were behind you?
About nine.
Oh. Oh, my God.
All right. So when you realize what you've done, what did you end up doing?
Well, I got to the red light. I got out, and I started waving my hands, yelling, I'm sorry. So then we just all turned into a redness, made a U-ey, and we went back.
Oh, Jesus.
So fortunately, because listen, I've been in a funeral procession where it's like, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm just going to follow the car in front of me. I have no idea what cemetery it's at.
Yeah, right.
All the time.
I don't even know the name. Did you at least know the name so you could find it, Jared?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew where I was going.
Okay.
Like I said, it just lost my mind. I mean, I made a lot of people mad.
Dude. Well, you got pandemonium going on in the car, and you're thinking, F this. I'm just going home. You don't realize you're going to have nine carloads of guests coming with you.
Yep, completely forgot.
Oh, that's...
That's great.
That's a winner. All right, thank you, Jared. That's appreciate it, man.
It's like out of a John Landis movie.
Oh, totally. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Mm. All right, so we're taking calls on idiotic things you've done lately.
Make other people feel better.
Both Casey and I had a series. You know, it was just, not just one. It was multiple times.
You were like, the F did I do with my glasses? You were about to leave work on Friday.
Yeah. I was leaving work on Friday. Dude, have you seen my glasses anywhere? He's like, they're on your neck right there. I had them hanging right here.
Who was the dead man who stole my glasses?
That was from Mexico.
That's right. Who's the dead man that stole
them? I was wearing them. I didn't have them on my head. They were on my eyes.
They were shading.
They're on your face right now.
But I do, before I go to some more of these calls, and the number is 215-263-WMM. If you want to share, but I really think the hustle and bustle nature of right now, we're starting to see, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. Some of us have some days off coming up.
Yeah.
And just trying to get all this stuff
You're
done.
You're distracted.
And just, it's just, you know, I'm in a fog right now altogether.
Well, I can tell you this. When I was relaying your story to my wife, you know, it's had a couple of those things happen. She's like, tell Casey while I'm not happy that this happened to him.
it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And that's the whole purpose of this.
Dude, it was buy two, get two free cases of soda, by the way. So it was four cases of soda that I lost. It. And the mom and the son were like, dude. The mom said to me, she goes, I don't drink diet soda, but, like, it was free.
Free soda.
All right, I'm going to go to Naomi next. Hi, Naomi, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So Friday I had a bunch of work calls to make, and I called one of our providers that rhymes with Paradark, and was getting ready to yell at them, and my account number wouldn't come up, and I kept putting my account number in. I'm dialing zero. I couldn't get through. About 5 minutes of going through their voicemail chain, I finally get somebody on the phone, and she can't find my account number. And I said, what is this? If I complain, you delete my account? And she's like, no. Well, tell me, was it internet or was it your cable service? And I said, where did I call? And she goes, Comcast?
Oh, no. You just called the absolute wrong company.
The man's on the phone yelling about our service for Paramark to Comcast. Oh.
So, did you sheepishly get off the phone, or did you go, "Well, yeah, you better watch out"?
No, I totally cracked up. I think I made their day.
Oh, all right. Okay, God. That's good. At least you owned up to it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Naomi. That's great. Appreciate
it. Wait, that means that I just remembered from her story. Last week, I called my car loan company to see how much, like, what the payout amount was. I'm coming towards the end of it. So I'm like, maybe I could just pay it off and, you know, not have a car payment. And they were like, ma'am, I'm sorry, but you don't have a car loan with us. I was like, well, I send you money every month. Where is it going? What do you mean I don't have? And I guess I had called, like, a previous car. Like, I had, like, maybe through, like, Citizens Bank, but this is through Nissan Corp. So I had called Citizens Bank, and they were like, ma'am, you're not sending us money. I'm like, I send you money every month.
You called Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And complete wrong number.
Let me go to Tony. Hey, Tony, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Great, buddy. All right. You got a story you want to share with us?
Yeah. So this isn't so recent, but this will probably make Casey feel better. So back in my younger days, used to smoke a little bit of weed. So late one night, got really stoned, decided I wanted to go to the gas station to get some ice cream. So I pull up to the gas station. I was the only one that pulled up. While I was in the store, like, this big, burly black guy came into the store. So I got my ice cream. Went back outside, got in the car, pulled my keys out, and I was looking around at the interior of this car, and I was like, wow, my car looks different. And I looked over, and there's a pack of Newports there, and I, like, panicked. I left my ice cream in this man's car and just left and just went home. And I think about that all the time.
You basically broke into another guy's car.
And meanwhile, he thinks the ice cream fairy came.
Yeah, so I've always wondered for years what that man thought when he got back to his car. And he knew what I bought. He seen what I had.
Yeah, oh, really? He saw you in there? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that dude was hitting on me.
Wow. Yeah, I love it. All right, thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. Here's a text. Somebody says, I was high one night, and I used the light on my phone to look for my phone.
Dude, where is it? It's got to be around here somewhere.
Damn it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Let me see here. I will go next to Amanda. Hi there, Amanda.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, what's happening, Amanda?
So, I wish I could say I was high when I did this.
Okay.
On YouTube, hey, it's a learning device sometimes.
Yeah.
I saw on YouTube you can make a hard-boiled egg in a microwave with a mug and some water. So I put the first one in, and I'm on Xbox with a handful of people live. They can hear me. Boom! Son of a... What was that? Oh, my... Did somebody help back? Hon, I said, get the gun! I walk in the kitchen. The mug exploded in the microwave.
Oh,
I was like, oh, maybe I did it too long. Not that I shouldn't do it again. Because, let's try. Really try. Put another egg in, water, mug, whole nine yards. 30 seconds later, big baby. My husband now comes up and says, are you stupid? Amanda, we could have a fire. The internet said it, hon. The internet told me it'll work. Listen, I promise.
promise. I did it wrong. I'm the dumb one. Let me do it again.
Oh, no.
Three times?
Three. Well, Kathy, I'm a go-getter.
Yeah.
Three times.
It's a nice way of putting it.
The third time, not only did the mug shatter, I have now heated the microwave to a magma level that I now shattered the glass
the turntable?
Yeah, broke it, shattered it. I mean, when I tell you glass, egg, water, I'm lucky that I didn't blow out the back wall into my neighbor's house.
Amanda, that's like, yeah, I mean, at that point, you're probably leaking radiation all over the neighborhood.
You probably could have boiled some eggs on the stovetop at that point.
Listen, now you have to factor in the time I watched YouTube. I did it three times. I could have boiled water and put eggs in it.
Yeah.
To clean.
Now, we've done that before where you take an egg and put it in the microwave and it'll eventually explode.
Yeah.
But was this a prank, the video that they were, you know, wanting people to try this at home and it makes the mug explode or what?
Probably, and I guess due to my IQ, I was like, this looks great.
I have heated up my share of mugs in the microwave. I've never had one explode.
I think it's probably the egg exploding that causes that.
The mug to explode. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Oh my
and you did
God.
It three times, triggering, it's got to be me.
Amanda.
Three times, multiple people heard me, and it wasn't like it was, you know, 8 o'clock at night. This is probably, you know, midnight. I'm sure my neighbors got the gun. I saw the first one. My neighbors definitely got guns.
Oh, well, we have to try that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love you, Amanda. Thank you.
I mean,
anytime. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Nice.
There we go.
We'll be easy to spot her.
She'll be covered in eggs.
Hear her coming. Yeah. Yes.
I don't think it's a prank. I mean, I looked it up, and immediately it says, yes, you can hard boil eggs in the microwave.
No, not Amanda.
But there's like, you're supposed to poke a hole in the egg, or you're also supposed to put it in salt.
How do you poke a hole in the eggshell?
Right?
You can. You can use a pin. And nothing will come out. Okay. So, wow.
By the way, man, my microwave just broke again. It's the second microwave in less than 5 years that broke.
Really?
They don't make them like they used to, press.
You getting the same model microwave?
I was eating up
a horseshoe.
I mean, come on, right? But I'm mad because it is like it's mounted in the cabinetry.
Mm-hmm.
And I mounted it, and it's a lot of work, and I don't feel like doing... Like, if it was just the regular, like, sit-on-the-counter type of
microwave,
I'd be fine. But, like, oh, man.
Why didn't you drive to the store?
Yeah, this says, this text says, my mom tried to dry her wet mail in the microwave, staples in the magazine, short of the microwave, and started a fire. Row home in Drexel Hill, three fire trucks.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All because her mail was a little damp?
Yeah. 5-point Stelco.
You let me bake this mail.
Oh, man. Let me see here. I'm going to go to Joe. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Morning, hey guys. How are you?
Good, buddy. You want to share your story?
Yeah, this just happened to me on Saturday night. I was shopping. It was about like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, so it was pretty dark out, and I had my 10-year-old daughter with me. So we're walking to the car, and I, you know, open the car door with the key remote, and I'm going and not paying attention. Open the car door, sit down, and my daughter says to me, Dad, we're not in the right car.
Oh, no.
I'm sitting in the Lexus. I drive a Kia.
Oh my God. Like, not even the same. Sometimes you get the same make and model. And,
No.
Oh, my God.
I get out of the car as fast as I possibly can, look around, and don't see anybody. I wanted to leave a note, but I just, you know, got in my car, in the right car, and got out of there.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. So you go out to the lot. It's not like there are people walking all around. How did your key open that door? Or was
I'm assuming the car was left unlocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he thought he had unlocked it.
Oh, my God.
I love it, Joe.
How do you leave your car? Thanks, man. Walking away now with your car unlocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some dude probably had his headphones in, thought he locked his door.
This was years ago, but my aunt was coming out of the grocery store, and her husband had recently passed away. And so she loaded all the groceries into the car and then got in the passenger seat and sat there and was like, what are we doing? And then she was like, oh, my God. She was just used to him driving.
Yes.
And she was like, oh, my God, I'm the one driving.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like a Hallmark movie.
Let's go with Dave. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Dave, what's happening?
All right, so
my dumb thing that I've done, and it's only happened once, thank God, is I work as a field technician for an IT company.
Okay.
First time I ever took a company car to a job site, first time I've ever had a company car, period. I did the job, I come outside, I didn't see my car, so I called the police and filed a police report that my car was stolen.
It wasn't, you were driving the company car.
Oh, no.
I didn't report the company car stolen, I reported my car stolen because I didn't see it.
How far into this process did you realize that you had made a mistake?
It was when the police told me that they located my vehicle.
Oh, my God.
Where was it?
My job.
It was at your job. Oh, my God.
That is great.
Oh, my God. And did you explain it to them at that point?
Yeah. And they were just like, stupid things happen.
All right. Fair enough. Oh, yeah. They didn't bust your balls. All right.
You would feel like a complete
jackass.
That's
a great story, Dave. Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We'll go over to Frank Ness. Hey, Frank, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up, man?
So I'm making breakfast, and I had leftover steak. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make a big old steak and cheese omelet. I make it. It looks beautiful. And I'm thinking, all right, as soon as I'm done this, got to feed the dog. So I take the frying pan, take it over to the dog's bowl.
Oh, my God.
Dump it right into the dog's bowl.
Just because you were thinking about feeding the dog, you gave him your badass leftover steak omelet.
He's a really good boy, too. His name's Lenny.
And my God.
He waited for me to give him the order that he could go eat. So there was that split second that I was like, I could just take it and eat it out of the bowl. I was like, nah, Merry Christmas.
There you go. Oh, that's great, Frank. And that's,
I love that.
That's the thing. Like with me putting not putting the coffee mug for the Keurig, I was thinking, I had to have been thinking about something else.
Something.
As I was going through these motions, my next step was on my mind, and I missed step two, which was putting the coffee mug underneath the Keurig.
Like, I can riff on things, but I certainly like a progression. And once that progression is thrown off, I can go down the same hole you guys went down with your missteps.
Well, it's like walking into a room and forgetting why you were going to that room, but like this is the extreme, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or going to the supermarket for one thing and walking out with 10 other things and not the one thing that you actually went for.
Yeah, the one thing you went for, yes.
I did a mobile order at Chipotle a couple of weeks ago, and this isn't necessarily something dumb that I did, but I didn't check the address of the Chipotle that I was ordering from, and I thought I was ordering it from the Newtown Square Chipotle. I got there and that one was closed, and I was like, well, hang on a second. And then I look at the mobile order. I ordered it from freaking Ardmore.
Casey, Little Rock is on the phone. Yeah.
Did you drive to Ardmore?
Yeah, I paid for it. I mean, it was like totally, you know, like, it would be a lot different if I just kind of, oh man, I did that one time with a pizza. I thought I was ordering from Valentino's, and I think it's Valentino's in Broomall, and I ordered it from some place down in Upper Darby, and I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to go home, and then the place that I order from called me because they had my number. They're like, are you coming to get your pizza? I was like, yes, I am.
Case, I did something similar. There's a 4th Street Deli and Deli on 4th.
Oh, yeah.
4th Street Deli, I think, is in the city, and then Deli on 4th is in Conshohocken. Yeah.
That's just not cool.
No. They called me and they're like, are you coming? I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like a half an hour away. Not coming.
I'm not? You didn't go?
No, we would drive a half an hour for bagels.
Did you pay for it?
You know what? I think I did because it was an online order, Casey. Oh, yeah, this was years ago, prior to COVID.
Why don't you guys have some bagels? We are a bagel store.
I want to go to Krista because this sounds fun. Krista, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, what's up, Krista?
So the reason why I wanted to tell this story, my father just passed away last month.
Sorry to hear that.
And so this month is actually my parents' 47th wedding anniversary.
Okay.
So 47 years ago, they got married, and my uncle, his brother, attends the wedding. They leave the wedding, go to the reception hall. My uncle goes to the reception with my aunt. They're sitting there. They're having dinner. After dinner, they realize they're at the wrong reception.
Oh, my God.
They are sitting there enjoying somebody else's dinner. And the irony is, the fire hall that my parents had their wedding reception was right across the street from this other wedding.
Let me get this straight. This was your father's brother?
Yes.
And he went to the proper wedding, but he went to the wrong reception.
Yes.
And he didn't realize for the entire reception that he was at the wrong place.
Nope, it never registered until after they had dinner and they realized this isn't the right place.
This is amazing.
Was your father and your uncle close?
Well, they were close, but it was just he wasn't part of the wedding party, so my father never realized he wasn't there. It wasn't until later that night.
Oh my God.
So when they showed up well after the reception.
Like, you figure if he's a groomsman, that would be, obviously you'd think he'd know, but he's just a guest. Yep. Preston, if you could go to Michelle.
Thank you, Krista. Appreciate it.
I'm sure that happens to a lot of parents.
Yep, let me go to Michelle. Hi, good morning, Michelle.
Hi, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks
to you.
I was supposed to be taking my kids to karate. And my son said, "Oh, Mom, I'm going to go out and get in the car." And I said, "Okay." And my daughter and I finished what we were doing, and we were running really late. We jumped in the car, and we get all the way to the karate studio. And I'm like, "Okay, come on, Zach, let's go." And he doesn't answer. And I'm like, "Zach." And I thought, you know, he was little, so I thought he fell asleep.
Oh, we lost him. We lost several phone calls. That was weird.
Yeah.
Zach wasn't in the car. She left him at home.
Great.
It's Home Alone.
She drove all the way, to karate.
Only to karate and not to Paris. But that can happen. Listen, if you're, and I would love to have asked her what time of year that was.
Yeah,
it was this time of year, because you get so absent-minded with all the variety of things that you're supposed to go, I got to do this, I got to run here, I got to pick up that, I can't forget to do this, I got to mail these, I got to blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then the one basic thing that you're trying to do at the moment just gets lost in all of it.
Well, you're not alone. It's got to at least make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I feel better.
We had, in my household, you know, you have all these family stories, and we had the Christmas of six turtlenecks, six green turtlenecks. And because my mom, I guess, she wanted to get green turtlenecks, and she ended up getting six green turtlenecks for, like, the four kids. So every, like... She completely forgot that she had already, like, how many times did she go to a store and buy a green turtleneck? And
got everyone green turtlenecks?
She got two green turtlenecks, right? But she didn't mean to, like, get that many green turtlenecks, but it was like the Christmas of green turtlenecks.
A couple of quick texts, and then we're gonna wrap and take a quick break. But this person says, "Well, went to see Chris Porter last week at Helium. Of course, he was at Punchline." And I love this one. Follow this. It says, "Okay, on Tuesday, I bought Flyers tickets for my daughter's boyfriend for Christmas."
Yes.
"I bought them for Tuesday's night's game."
Oh, no!
So he bought tickets for the game that night.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Where are you going tonight?
Maybe you want to put these in a frame. What a game that was.
What a game that was. Oh, my God.
I went to Tinseltown out in Oaks the day before they had their opening. So I got there, and I couldn't find out where to park. I couldn't find an open gate. I pulled in like this. It looked like... You know, like where like the workers go. I was like, I don't know, maybe this is like all that's open today.
And you think it would be illuminated?
Well, Jason and I get out of the car. I'm like, come on. I'm like, hurry up. Let's just like get in there. So I start walking around. Everything's lit up. Yeah. And these two girls come over and they're like, "Can we help you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm here for media night for Tinseltown." She's like, "It's tomorrow." And I was like, "Okie dokie, we'll see you tomorrow."
What did you guys end up doing after that? Because for the person that can pivot after something like that and go, "Okay, well, let's do this," you know, is not me.
No, it's not me either.
I wish I had that. I know people who are like that.
If I plan to do something, if that doesn't happen, I go home.
Yeah. Well, no, you know what I did. I was like, I am not wrong on this. I was like, that girl said it was Tuesday. I opened up my phone and the whole thing.
Let me call Citibank.
But I'll tell you what, it actually was in the email. She referenced Tuesday and then the correct date. So I put it in my calendar as Tuesday, but it was really Wednesday.
All right, okay. All right.
So it wasn't my fault.
Another quick text says, years ago, my uncle, my great aunt and uncle were leaving a funeral viewing and ceremony to go to the cemetery, and they ended up merging with another funeral and went to the wrong.
Oh, my God. That happens, man. That all around you, because you have, especially over where I live, there are a couple of competing cemeteries going in different directions through intersections. Mm-hmm. And like, it took me a while to realize that where I live, and I'll hear them because I'm at a four-way intersection, stop signs every which way, and they'll come and hear the horns because they're going to the stop sign. It's easy to do it.
One more quick call.
Sure.
These are too good. We could go forever on this, but I love this one. Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good, Matt. So, what stupid thing happened?
My father-in-law always had these connections on getting sure houses. Okay. This particular house was in Brigantine, and he always would screw things up. So we go down there, and they're already checked in. So I bring my family down, and we go in the house. The key, he obviously got the key from under the floor mat.
Okay.
I mean, this is house, elevator, the whole nine yards. Beautiful. Wow. Well, the house is fully furnished, as most sure houses are. But the odd thing was there was, you know, food and alcohol and a guitar sitting there. Really nice. My son's strumming on a guitar. We're all having a good old time. And we finally found out that because midway through the weekend, we're calling him, and the lady's like, well, you aren't at the right house. So we just packed up and went to a different house the following day. Turns out the people came down that weekend to stay in their house, and we were in the wrong house. We slept in somebody's house that just wasn't even a rental property.
Oh, no. It was just someone's actual home.
It wasn't even a rental property.
Yes.
And
the bad thing about it was they would have probably never found out, but down there you're not allowed to park across the sidewalk. And I had parked my vehicle,
right,
and it was blocking the sidewalk, and I got a parking ticket. So they brought my father-in-law in and questioned them and everything, and luckily the people were pretty lenient and didn't do anything about it. But that's how they located us.
We as humans need to find a different place for our keys, our spare keys.
Especially this day and age. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
change,
Matt,
that out for a key lock.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. All right. Well, there you go. You feel a little better, Case?
Yeah.
I feel a little better. I will continue to do the stupid things that I do. But I'm happy to know that, you know, misery loves
everyone
company.
Does.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe you guys got the bad streaks behind you. Like, maybe they're out of the way now, and it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out.
Nice, man. I'm hoping so. Yeah. Wow. Well, let's hope good things for you. Let's give away some Christmas miracle packs.
Yeah,
how about
Christmas
that?
Christmas miracle!
Yes.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! Callers 14 to 15, you get the invite to tomorrow morning's live broadcast. 215-263-WMMR, 14 and 15. Now, remember, wear your ugly sweater because we have some great stuff to give away. Miller Lite is giving us Miller Lite beer for a year, an outdoor viewing package, which includes a video projector, Miller Lite Philadelphia Eagles blanket, two Miller Lite lawn chairs, a Miller Lite cooler. It's an over $500 value.
It's great.
And by simply wearing an awesome sweater, you could end up winning that. So keep that in mind. Now, you bring a guest with you, and your guest can be in on the ugly sweater contest, but only you can be qualified to end up in our contest up at Contestants Row and playing the Preston and Steve trivia contest that we do each year. So let's get you on board, 215-263-WMMR. While we're doing that, we'll take a break, come back in a second, and we'll get the Bizarre File stories when we return.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Take your bells!
Presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Alrighty, we'll begin with this story. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll begin with our sponsor. It's brought to you by Iron Hill Brewery. Their top-selling IPAs and holiday seasonal beers are now available everywhere. Craft beer is sold locally. You can visit IronHillBrewery.com and click Beer Finder to find a retailer near you. We will start with this one. A Utica man is under arrest for the fourth time after defying expectations and allegedly stealing a Utica fire truck. Police say that approximately 11:40 a.m., they were notified that the Utica Fire Department vehicle rescue number 2 had been stolen while it was parked. An undercover officer noticed Rescue 2 about 2 blocks away and started to follow it until other cars could try and stop it. When they approached Rescue 2, the driver allegedly began leading police on a pursuit, and a scene resembling something out of Fast and Furious ensued.
In a fire truck?
It's a fire truck, yes.
Wow. A fire truck's kind of an obvious thing to steal.
The driver, police say, began driving north in the southbound lanes, hitting 2 cars and continuing. Thankfully, during the collisions, neither of the motorists were injured. The vehicle continued to flee until its reckless actions were had caused the Utica Police Department to terminate the pursuit.
Must be a fire.
Rescue 2 got stuck in a grassy area. The driver abandoned the vehicle and then fled on foot. Within moments, the suspect was taken into custody, and then he was turned over to the PD.
So what was the reason for the steal?
Well, investigators determined that the suspect was 29-year-old Brandon Hatton, and Hatton, who has a distinctive spider tattoo on his neck, was recognized by the police.
Oh, geez.
He had been charged, booked, and released on 3 previous occasions, just on December 16th alone.
Wow. He was busy
3 times.
Well, it's the holiday season.
Yeah, so he wanted to, you know... Listen, you're a little scatterbrained, yeah. You know.
Oh, my God, I'm driving a fire truck.
You got into the wrong vehicle.
My car's a Prius.
Wow. This is season. All right, a drunk driving woman tried to fool police by swallowing hand sanitizer before taking a breath test, not realizing the antibacterial gel contains more alcohol. Sophie,
fooled you.
Sophie Nutter, by the way, was told that she was lucky not to be spending Christmas behind bars.
You just got nutted.
She was apparently swerving all over the road in a death trap car with 4 flat tires and a broken windshield.
What?
So as a cop approached to give her a breath test, she slurped from a bottle of hand sanitizer that she kept in the vehicle. And, of course, hand sanitizer is required to have at least 60% alcohol content to kill COVID.
Uh-huh.
The shameless mom had narrowly avoided jail last year after possessing heroin and crack cocaine with the intent to supply.
All right, bring the hand sanitizer because I don't want to be reckless.
The court heard a cop had spotted her swerving violently all over the road in her Suzuki Swift and ordered her to stop. All the tires on the car were flat, and the windshield was smashed and had 2 noticeable impact marks.
You think by accident you'd have at least 1 tire that wasn't flat.
There was also dried blood on a rear door and a smear of blood on the front headlight.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Eyes were glazed, and she was thrice refused to provide breath sample, and she was in breach of a 2-year suspended prison sentence as well.
Other than that, pretty clean.
She's looking for a great holiday, yeah. All right, listen to this. This is in Idaho. A local sheriff faces serious felony charges for allegedly threatening a youth group with a gun in November. Listen to what this idiot did. Attorney General's office charged Bingham County Sheriff Craig Rowland with felony aggravated battery, aggravated assault, and misdemeanor exhibition of a gun. So on the evening of November 9th, a Latter-day Saints youth group, was placing what they call thankful turkeys on the doors of members of their congregation. The activity involved several girls aged 12 to 16 writing notes of thanks shaped like turkeys, taping them to doors, ringing the doorbells, and running away before they could get caught by the occupants. It's like ghosting around Halloween and so on.
It's sort of very sweet.
So that night, a group of 7 young women and their adult leader visited Roland's neighborhood. Most of the night provided uneventful until they tried to leave a note for Roland and his wife. Roland told investigators he went to let his Yorkie out to relieve itself. He said he saw 2 people outside his home. They ran down the road from the house. Roland made sure no one had broken into his patrol vehicle, and he went back inside. Minutes later, he said he heard his front door screen open and a knock at his door. Fearing that someone was trying to break into his house, he had his wife bring him his gun, dressed in his long johns, socks and a T-shirt. The sheriff went outside. The Ring doorbell footage... you can see Roland is shown looking at a turkey, so he sees it.
Yeah.
And he says, thank you. And he goes, that's frickin' bull-ass. And then he saw the vehicle driving down the road. He stopped him. He said the car didn't look familiar, and the driver of the car stopped and opened the driver's side door. He said, I reached in, and I pulled the driver out by their hair. And he said, I said, who the F are you? And I have my gun in my hand. Roland told investigators he pointed the gun at the woman's head. The woman later identified herself as a neighbor and family friend of over three decades. He said he didn't recognize her. He continued yelling profanities.
I don't recognize you.
At the woman and girls and pointed his weapon at the woman. Eventually, he said that he went back to his home and let the youth group leave.
Are you the turkey whore?
He told investigators that he had a single alcoholic drink that night, but he was clear-headed, he says.
Seems it.
Investigators interviewed all of the girls in the vehicle and their adult leader. The recounting of the events is similar to Roland's. The woman said that when Roland pulled her out of the car by her hair, he reportedly lifted his gun and pointed it inches from her forehead. And the woman said Roland told her to never do this again, that he could shoot her, and that she needed to get the F out of here. So,
Merry Christmas.
And Roland was not arrested, by the way.
Okay.
He was issued a summons to appear in court and faces felony charges. And he is still the elected office, so we'll see how
sure
that
they'll
goes.
Investigate.
All right, one more story, and then we will wrap it up. All right, this took place in Kenya. Take it for what it is. A young Kenyan man identified as Joel Namasaka has lost his sanity, it says in this report, after a new girlfriend that he met in the market turned into a goat while they were having sex.
That's the problem with those market girls.
That's the problem.
Joel said how the beautiful lady
agreed
to be his girlfriend following their first unplanned encounter.
My brother, what is your problem?
The, quote, strange lady, he said, accompanied him to his residence. Joel said, I met the beautiful lady at Soy Market when I was going back to where I work as a Shamba boy.
Yes.
And talked about love. She agreed to be my girlfriend, so I requested her to accompany me to my residence, and she agreed. Everything was okay until we entered my bedroom. The lady suddenly turned into a big goat with long horns made out of bottles of soda that we had just drunk.
God damn it.
Joel Namasaka,
I was gonna go for a second time.
Fled the scene, leaving his lover, the goat woman, alone in his bed.
You leave me a bottle of soda?
He, however, became traumatized by the scary incident. Joel's father, Peter, told the media that his son behaved like a possessed person when his friends brought him home.
Yeah.
And he said, I was shocked when I saw my son brought home by a Boda Boda rider all the way from Kakamega. A few minutes...
Just a Boda Boda from Kakamega?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What's your story, dude? Just a Boda Boda from Kakamega.
A few minutes after his arrival, the boy... changed.
Well, my son's upstairs banging a goat.
And started behaving like a possessed person. So there you go.
Just another day.
Have it happened in Kenya.
Boda Boda.
That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right. We got a movie screening tonight. It is the new Matrix film.
Yes.
Matrix Resurrections. It is at 7 o'clock, and the film will be showed at the Philadelphia Film Center. If you would like to go, be one of our next four callers right now, 215-263-WMMR. But keep in mind, it is tonight. It's at 7 o'clock at the Philadelphia Film Center. So four callers, we're going to set you up with those tickets. 215-263-WMMR. Chris and Chenoweth joining us in about a half hour or so. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle and the return of the horrendous holiday attire competition, the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Contest. It's happening Tuesday, December 21st at the Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. At stake, some of the coolest prizes, gadgets, and gifts from our winter wonderland of clients and sponsors.
Like Keswick Cycle, Ashley Home Store, and Wawa.
And everyone's got a shot at a trip to Vegas to see Metallica.
February 25th at Allegiant Stadium with Greta Van Fleet.
Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle. WMMR.com has details on how to join us.
It's a Christmas miracle or something.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have noticed some things.
Oh!
I feel the need to share these with you.
The Noticer. He's back and has noticed so much. The end of the year brings a lot to notice, and the Noticer's head is always on a swivel.
It is.
Across an empty field. Down an empty alleyway. He's there.
I'm here.
Noticing things you don't have time to notice.
All right,
because you're too busy not operating your Keurig correctly.
I did notice that. All right, I noticed this story. It was an obituary, and boy, talk about somebody who lived an interesting life. There was a gentleman, never heard of him before. His name is Henry Orenstein. He was a Holocaust survivor, a poker champion,
and the entrepreneur who created the Transformers toy line.
Oh, wow.
Wait till you hear his story. All right, so...
Yeah, I'm familiar with this dude. It's amazing.
You're familiar with him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he died at his New Jersey home. He was 98 years old. The cause of death was not released.
We know.
Born in Rubiswał, Poland in 1923, Orenstein spent the Holocaust hiding with his family before lack of food and water forced them to turn themselves in to the Nazis. They were starving.
It was so bad, you turn yourself into the Nazis.
His parents were murdered.
Yeah.
By the Nazis. Oh, my God. And Orenstein, I'm not sure how you pronounce specifically his last name, and his brother were transferred to a German concentration camp where he managed to survive by pretending to be a scientist. Can you believe that?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. The stuff, how inventive you had to be.
He came to the U.S. in 1947 and became a wildly successful toy maker, most notably for creating the Transformers toy line. Orenstein also was credited with creating the popular 1950s doll called Betty the Beautiful Bride. I'm not familiar. But apparently, he had said in a 1989 interview, in less than a year, more than 1.5 million of those dolls were sold.
Betty the Beautiful Bride.
Yep.
Huh.
So his other inventions, Casey, you'll love this,
okay,
include the poker table hole card cameras.
Ah.
Which allows
revolutionized the game.
TV audiences to see the players' secret strategies and bluffs. So when the hole cards, the cards that are facing down,
yeah,
that camera that shows those, he invented that.
Wow.
Right?
That's pretty great.
Orenstein had over 100 patents to his name at the time of his death. In addition to his toy world contributions, he was also a renowned poker player. And in 2008, he was elected to the Poker Hall of Fame.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's jamming multiple lives into one.
Yep. He was a big contributor to Jewish causes, including the Holocaust survivors and Israel as well. Pretty amazing.
Imagine going through all that at the beginning and then turning it around.
I'd never heard of him before.
They said, though, that he was the respirator in his hospital room was a Decepticon.
Person. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But what a wide range.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who is creative enough to come up with the Transformers, and on the other side comes up with this camera that revolutionized how poker playing is watched.
I remember when they first started using it, and I'm not a big game guy to begin with, but I remember, I guess, who was it, ESPN carries the games, or who was ever carrying it, and I was noticing that angle, and I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. You can kind of, once you know what they're holding, it makes the game a lot more interesting.
Yeah, you're not going to captivate a television audience if you have no idea what these people are playing with.
Yeah, right. That was the one thing that makes it pop, that makes it work.
And then going back to the Transformers thing, do you remember how complex those were as far as being able to go from the robot shape to the vehicle shape?
Listen, I was well past.
It took a lot.
Yes.
To figure that out.
I was well past, you know, the time for the Transformers. However, I did pick up a few of them. They had one that used to turn into a pistol. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was Megatron. And then they had one that turned into a radio. I mean,
like a boombox, right?
Like a boombox, a tape player.
Yeah.
How about that crap?
So Henry Orenstein had never heard of him before, but he lived a nice, long, rich, interesting, traumatic life as well. I mean, you know.
Imagine you had to convince them you were a scientist.
Yeah.
That you had to fake it.
How do you back
so that
up?
So that you can live.
Yeah. That's amazing. So that's a story I noticed.
That's amazing.
But that was pretty cool. Absolutely. All right. Here's another one I noticed from the weekend. This is pretty cool.
A lot of prime noticing this weekend, huh?
This Christmas, stargazers will get a gift as the brightest comet of 2021 moves through the evening sky.
What if it looks like Santa? Santa's coming. Why would you do that, Santa?
It's called Comet C-2021-A1.
They always have such inventive names.
More commonly referred to as Comet Leonard.
Comet Leonard?
Well, it wouldn't be Leonard, would it?
No,
L-E-O-N-A-R-D.
Comet Leonard.
Comet Leonard.
Caused a modest amount of destruction as I go across your night sky.
Leonard was discovered earlier this year and made his closest approach to Earth on December 12th.
I was by Earth a while ago, but I'm a little shy.
Before its approach, it was visible only to the early morning sky, but its journey has now made it more prominent in the evening sky. The, quote, Christmas comet will appear in the evening sky throughout the rest of the year. But you should look for it sooner rather than later, as it will become dimmer and dimmer heading into the last days of the month.
I find that around this time of year, the nighttime viewing through the telescope is great. It just is.
But, you know, as far as Christmas is concerned and looking up to the sky, you know, I was lucky enough on a couple of different occasions
to see the one magical star.
No, to see Rudolph. You could see his blinking red nose up in the sky. Mm. So, you know, at night, if you're with your kids and you see that, you know, look up because you might be able to see Rudolph's nose blinking.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I think you said this, Preston. The comet Leonard was actually discovered this year.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was discovered by a guy named Gregory Leonard.
That's why.
Senior research specialist, but it was in the Santa Catalina Mountains, northeast of Tucson, Arizona. So it was discovered in the States, and named it after himself.
I guess it's better than Comet Greg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg Leonard. Leonard is better,
Or GL.
Program executive at NASA headquarters, Gordon Johnston, said the comet should be visible with a backyard telescope or binoculars and may be visible to the naked eye under very clear and dark observing conditions. He said it will look like a fuzzy green star with a small tail.
Cool.
And the coming nights will be the only chance to see Comet Leonard, as it will not swing past Earth again for another 80,000 years.
Oh, okay.
All right. So this is your chance.
If not this time, you catch it on the return trip.
Yep. 80,000 years.
For those of you who are immortal.
I remember when I was a kid and I was in, I think it was in second grade, and I saw a film strip. Remember when they showed film strips?
Uh-huh.
About Halley's Comet. And I remember noting that I remember at that time what age I would be, because I think it's, what is it, every 18 years or something like that?
No, 76 years.
76 years, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I had done the math, and I'm like, okay, maybe it was I was going to be 18 years old.
Right.
When it came through. When did it last?
I think it was 86.
Then that would have been it.
Yeah.
And, so these things that make that return trip, I always found it pretty cool.
To see them come by with, and they've been traveling through the, you know, the universe, and they've picked up all these bumper stickers. It's amazing.
Just to show where they've been. Yeah. So
OBI.
So this will be, you'll be able to see it now, but not for much longer if you want to get a glimpse of it now. Comet Leonard.
I hit the wrong button.
We going to a wedding?
Yeah.
Do you take this comet?
What was that music, by the way?
That's our bachelor music.
Oh, it's the bachelor.
I love comets.
Yeah.
You're the most special comet I've ever known. I'll kiss you goodbye and see you again in 40,000 years.
Yo, ever heard of Jerkmate?
I have, and I love my Jerkmate. I was researching comets. I wasn't looking at porn.
All right. So I did notice this other story, and I want to be a little bit delicate with this because the family lives in our area. But I found this very interesting. The Pennsylvania Attorney General's office has received potential new evidence in the mysterious death of Ellen Greenberg. And I didn't remember this story, but it took place 10 years ago. Philadelphia school teacher whose death was ruled a suicide after she was found stabbed 20 times.
I remember this.
A decade ago. I don't remember this.
Yeah,
you do remember
this? Remember this.
Among the potential new evidence includes an expert's deposition that shows at least one of the 20 stab wounds had no hemorrhaging or bleeding, meaning that it would have happened after she had passed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Postmortem, yeah. So Greenberg was a Juniata Park teacher found deceased in her Manayunk apartment in 2011. And they said what's significant here is that there's no hemorrhage, and it tells us that a number of the wounds might have been postmortem, at least one definitely, according to Josh Greenberg, Ellen's father. So her death had been ruled a suicide for more than a decade. Her parents never believed that that was the case, and neither does the more than 120,000 people who signed a change.org petition
that's been calling on the Pennsylvania Attorney General to revisit the case.
There's a lot more they can do now and a lot more they can determine now. So I think, you know, at least for peace of mind, it'd be worth investigating.
The Greenberg's attorney has not gotten the attorney general's office to recently review the case, despite the new deposition being in the public record for months.
You watch all these cases, all these Dateline things and all these other, you know, true crime things where they revisit the case using DNA technology and all the other science that's available to them. Either to exonerate or to, you know, find the real perpetrators. But a lot of cases have been, you know, reversed.
I don't mean this to sound like an ignorant question, but how could any suicide be a result of 20 stabbings?
Well, and that would be the big question, right?
And that was the question.
Man, from time to time, I'll read stories, you know, prepping for Bizarre File, where things, you know, cases are ruled suicide, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
How? How in the world could somebody do that, you know?
I don't know about 20 times, but I know somebody who stabbed themselves to death.
Yeah, there was that singer. Yeah. You remember Elliot Smith? That's how he committed suicide. Is that his name, Elliot Smith? He sang on Goodwill Hunting soundtrack. And
I don't remember.
Yeah, he committed suicide, and I believe he stabbed himself in the stomach multiple times.
Whoa. Well, that's, Artie Lang was attempting that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't know
how. 9 or 10 times.
I don't know how your body would allow you to do that to yourself.
Right.
You know, inflicting that kind of pain. Now, like one cut that can, you know, sever an artery or something like that, you've done it one time, and therefore.
Right.
You're going to bleed out. Late. It's done.
Right.
But allowing yourself, that's crazy, man. That's just, it's wild to believe that someone can do that. But anyhow, I noticed that. I thought it was very interesting and at least worth mentioning. So I noticed some other things that are way lighter than that.
The noticer notices lighter things, too.
All right. Look, we'll go back to a holiday noticed thing. 1,000 dog owners recently took part in a poll from the United Kingdom-based Guide Dogs charity about their dog's favorite Christmas songs.
You got to know what to play your dog around the holidays.
And Wham's Last Christmas earned 10% of the vote, making it the preferred holiday song for the pooches that were polled.
I'm going to have to disagree with the British dogs.
Followed closely behind Wham is Jingle Bells with 9% of the vote, and Mariah Carey's iconic Christmas staple, All I Want for Christmas Is You, with 6%. Does Chelsea have a favorite Christmas song? Our dogs don't know.
She likes
music.
More Ave Maria. She likes, more spiritual.
Religious,
she's very spiritual. I would think the Jingle Bells would be the one because of the, you know, they like bells and all that sort of
right?
The cacophonous
from toys?
Sound. Yes.
And so on. Do your pets acknowledge music at all?
No. My dog always has her earbuds in, so she'll do things and forget things.
Well, listen, this is a little extreme, but yesterday Jace was asking Alexa to play something on volume 10, and my cats nearly had a heart attack.
Yeah.
So some other popular holiday tunes that dogs liked, according to the survey, were Driving Home for Christmas by Chris Rea.
Not familiar.
Chris Ray. I don't know that one. This is in the United Kingdom, so they might have...
They're very backwards.
A little less. Another one was It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas by Michael Bublé.
Hmm.
And Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Oh, man. British dogs are stupid.
The Guardian reported...
Remember that the people or the creatures that took this survey will occasionally eat their own crap.
Oh, okay, yes. The Guardian reported that the pet owners who took part in the survey...
Big dogs running, big dogs out.
Said that their pups responded more positively to upbeat tracks and were less interested in quieter, slower, and instrumental Christmas classics.
No place for Silent Night?
No,
Little
probably
Drummer
not.
Boy?
No.
Nothing.
90%,
Away in a Manger?
90% of owners surveyed responded that their dogs enjoy music year-round, while a quarter added that music helps keep their dogs calm and comfortable.
Do they poll the dogs and the owners as to what music they both like to listen to when having sex?
They did not, but I'm sure that...
When you're having sex with your dog, what do you tend to put on?
You guys ever gone caroling, Christmas caroling
before?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah?
When I was a kid, I did.
My church used to do that. We used to meet in the church
basement.
You have
a church? No,
well, it was my parents' church. But we would meet in the church basement, a whole bunch of us, you know, dozens of us.
It's
got to
be fun.
And we would get different... parts of the parish that we would go to. It's one of my favorite memories as a child. I loved doing that.
We did it. Right. We did it with some neighbors when I was a kid, and that was fun. It was really, really cold. But then, when I was older and I was playing in a band, we all decided that we would go Christmas caroling
as a band,
as the band,
as a rock band, yeah. As the image.
And we went out, and at the first house, we realized we didn't know any Christmas songs.
Yeah.
We thought we knew them, and then we started to sing them. We didn't have sheet music.
That's the problem.
Or anything, and we're like, oh. You think you know
them. Well, that's why when you see carolers, a lot of times they have those little pamphlets with the
real deal.
In it. Right, yeah.
Yeah,
so you know what you're doing. Right.
Yeah.
You realize you don't know that.
Yeah.
And you also realize that it's something that kids are more welcome. If you show up at a house with three or four of your buddies, right. Yeah, what do you want?
Well, yeah. unless you're spouting out wonderful harmony.
Right, right.
But yes.
Safe like repair, safe like replace.
It's the... Wait, let me do this the right
way. I got the door opening. 1 second. All right, you have the
doorbell.
I have a doorbell.
We'll go right into our safe light repair.
And you need jingle bells. All right.
You knocking on the door? Or am I knocking on the door?
You knock on the door.
Okay.
Safe light repair. Safe light replace.
That was so worth it.
It totally.
We created an image.
Yeah.
Theater of the mind.
This time with the doorbell, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with the doorbell. Yeah, okay, we can do that.
Okay.
All right.
Wait.
Wait, no, that was the doorbell. That's what I thought I was doing. All right, here we go.
Stay flight repair. Stay flight replace.
Perfect.
Nice. All right.
Can we have a Zola for our song, sir?
Give a song about windshields. Get out of here.
We have sleigh bells, so it's Christmas.
Yeah.
But we went as a, me and my friends went caroling, not with the church.
No.
And we just went to our friends' houses. And we were young, too, probably like 13 years old.
Were you collecting tips?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
So that traditionally is what would happen. A lot of times, churches would go out and collect some money for the church.
But when we did it for the church, we weren't, as far as I can remember, we weren't collecting tips. When I went with my friends, we were.
I went out last year for jerk meats.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it was great.
Oh. I don't have jerk meats.
Oh,
I have,
man.
The only Last Christmas I have is an 8-bit version of Last Christmas.
This is the only version of this song we have?
Yeah.
It's horrible. I like Last Christmas by Wham.
It's not bad.
Yeah. I love it. It's, yeah. I really like it. I think it's a good song to sing along to. I also like Taylor Swift's version of it.
I haven't heard that one,
too.
Yeah.
We have another version. If I press stop here, it's the Glee version. That's actually a really good version.
Is it a cappella?
Well. It is. Yes, it is. But I don't know how.
Do you have to go find it?
Real a cappella it is. I'll find it right here.
It's like there might be some instrumentation on it. All right, let's find out.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of instrumentation.
Yeah. Yes. I couldn't remember.
Talking about my wife and I over the weekend about, because obviously it's lightning in a bottle to get that, to get a Christmas song.
Yeah.
It's so easy to write a bland, regular, standard Christmas song.
Yeah.
In the Hallmark movies, you'll hear tons of them that are audio wallpaper.
Yeah.
But to write that one that clicks like Mariah Carey did, you know, that is, it's not easy.
What was the one that, Kelly Clarkson tried to have one?
It didn't work.
It's a good enough song.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, nothing, not everything could be Santa Super Sleigh.
No.
You know?
I don't remember. Do you remember the name of that?
The Kelly Clarkson one?
Yeah.
No.
Did it involve a relationship?
Yes, it's about her Christmas without your divorce now.
She's divorced now.
Yes, that was her thing. She just released it today,
this year. I haven't been paying attention. Christmas isn't canceled.
Just you.
All right. Well, listen. Here's the deal. Was it just released this year?
Yeah.
Sometimes these things when Mariah had All I Want for Christmas Is You, it came. It showed up. All right.
It was a hit right away.
I didn't think so.
Immediately.
Did it chart?
It didn't become Okay.
That well, okay.
I loved it more after Love Actually. You know,
there like, you go.
So
thank you.
I know that it did well and people enjoyed it, but to me, it really didn't become iconic until after 2003, 2004, when that movie came out and they covered her version of it in that movie. And then that movie slowly started becoming a classic, too.
Like, her album, though, hit right. Like,
I'm sure.
Yeah, it was a great
But I don't think it was like as omnipresent as it is now. Like now it really is sort of a holiday classic.
Like you're guaranteed to hear it many, many times.
Yeah. And I like that one.
Yeah, it's a good song. I agree.
Some movies are that way as well. I mean, Elf was successful, but not really that successful. It took a while for that to take hold.
And like sometimes they learn how to fix it, like One Girl in a Cup. Not good.
Right.
Not
good. You know what we need?
Too. Yeah, we need a second girl and another cup.
Right.
Yeah, that's the new one coming out.
Two Girls, Two Cups.
Two Girls, Two Cups?
Yeah, yeah.
That's next.
What?
All right. The sequel.
Too Furious.
All right, let me see what else I got here. All right, here's a follow-up story for you.
No, it's just doing a follow-up.
A Minnesota teen's big mouth has recaptured a Guinness World Record. Isaac Johnson initially earned the record in 2019 when he was 14, and his mouth gape measured 3.67 inches, but he lost the record to a gal we spoke to, we spoke to from Pennsylvania just a few months later. But Johnson has now recaptured the record after his gape was measured at a full 4 inches.
So there was the woman who had the largest mouth, right? And he took it back from her.
No. So you remember we spoke to the one guy.
Right.
No. This is a guy. Isaac Johnson initially earned the largest when he was 14. But he lost the record to the Pennsylvania teen just a few months later, who's the guy we spoke to.
All right.
And now he has claimed it back.
All right.
The other one has claimed it back. The first one. I guess he was 14, so his mouth is still growing.
Huh.
So
God bless him.
It's even larger now, and he has taken it back. But the kid we spoke to, I really liked a lot.
It was great, yeah.
I want him to keep the record.
Absolutely. Keep it local.
But he was a young man, too, so maybe his mouth is growing
then
as
who's
well.
The woman I'm thinking of that she...
I remember a gal with a really big mouth, and I don't remember what the story was behind her, Steve, but it wasn't this one.
It's an astonishingly big maw.
Oh, my God. We're looking at a kid putting an entire Big Mac in his mouth. That's huge. All right. Anyhow, that's all I have time for tonight because we have a guest on the line who we adore.
Yes.
And we are very much looking to speaking to her. The movie that she's promoting is called National Champions. It's in theaters now. It will be streaming on December 28th. All kinds of great people in this movie. Please welcome the lovely Kristen Chenoweth to our show this morning. Kristen, good morning to you.
Hi, y'all. How are you?
We're good. Happy holidays to you.
Back at y'all.
Thank you. Listen, we were just talking about, and before we get into national champions, but we were talking about Christmas carols and songs and so on, and you being a professional singer as well. Do you have one that you gravitate to this time of year or a type of Christmas carol that really speaks to you?
You know what? I know this sounds completely nerdy of me, and it ages me, and I really don't care. But I have a Christmas album out, and right now, and there's a song that Karen Carpenter sings called "Merry Christmas, Darling."
Yeah,
and I've stuck it on the record because it's about not getting to be with the person that you want to be with, but can dream about it, and it. Describing what Christmas is like. And I think so many, this has been going on for me about the past 3 years because of our situation, and not getting to be always with the ones we love. And I just, that for me lately, the past 3 years has been the one.
Well, the album is called Happiness is Christmas. I'm sorry. Yeah. The name of the album is Happiness is Christmas, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, all right. I want to make sure people know that it's out and can be purchased. So, do you tend to? I mean, listen, we all have our favorites, and you go back and forth, and it depends on the situation you're in. And as you say, with the past couple of years being the way they are, you tend to appreciate some aspects of Christmas more. And I know, listen, you are a veteran of Christmas in my mind because you've done a Hallmark Christmas movie, and that puts you in that rare pantheon, which was very good, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you have fun doing that? Because, we've had Danica McKellar and Lacey Chabert and Candace Cameron Bray and a lot of the actresses that do those on the show.
And I am a massive sucker for them. I love them. Did you have fun doing it?
Yes, I did. And I was glad that they did. I was in a Christmas Hallmark Hall of Fame for them. And it was their first movie about adoption. And for anybody who hasn't seen the movie, I just spoiled it. But it was a little bit... the thing about Hallmark movies is you can start the movie and you kind of know where it's going to go.
Right.
And you feel good because you can wrap it up in a little red bow. Mine is a little different. It's a little, you might not see it coming. However, just so y'all know, I've done six Christmas movies. I've done Deck the Halls. I've done, 12 Men of Christmas, Four Christmases. Name one of the Christmas movies in the past 15 years. Guess who's probably been in it? I must have Christmas written across my forehead. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm not into the Hallmark stuff. I like a more straight-ahead movie. So that brings us to National Champions, which is in theaters now. And it looks, like a pretty intense, cool concept of a film. Can you share with people what this is about who are not familiar with National Champions yet?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. And I'll do it rather quickly because it's why I took the movie. It begs the question, which a lot of colleges are going ahead and signing kids and then paying for their likeness, but it's about that. It's about when you get injured as an athlete and how you take that with you for the rest of your professional career and if you want to and what that's going to look like. And then you have a coach played by the amazing, if I may just brag on him a second, J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
And the discord between a coach who wants to win and make, just help kids with their life skills. And then there's the kids that are hiding injuries and or want to be paid and or using that as leverage.
Right.
I play the coach's wife, who is the woman behind the man. And this is a very, let me just relate it to me for one second, y'all. When I was at OCU at Oklahoma City University, I was injured. I'm an athlete, too, in a very different sense. And I had to carry those injuries with me through my professional career on Broadway and elsewhere. And I was being told, you have a scholarship, so basically, be quiet and be thankful. Okay? I'm just talking to you how it is.
Right.
I'm talking straight. Mm-hmm. And no matter what side of the line you lie on this subject, I am going to be more for, I'd like for them to be somehow some compensated. The $100, booster club handshakes can get you so far.
It either
needs to be legit or not. That's my opinion.
No, and it's an issue that they're dealing with, and the story is definitely a timely one. And so you're the man, you're the woman behind the man, I think you are. There's Timothy Oliphant is in it as well. It's directed by Rick Roman Waugh, who directed Greenland, Preston. You just saw that recently.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. So
I love him. Rick is amazing at this type of film.
Yeah. So this kind of stuff is interesting, and you're right. We are friends with a number of athletes here in the city, and what happens is, you don't think about it that way, but you can be just as injured at the college level as you can in the professional level. And as you say, you carry those with you for all of your life. So that's something that needs to be considered.
Yes.
I have to congratulate you, too, by the way. I was a massive fan. My wife and I were watching and loved Schmigadoon, for which you were nominated for a Critics' Choice Award, which is great. And that had to be a blast. I've been telling everybody to see Schmigadoon. It's on Apple Plus.
Yeah, you can stream it on Apple. And I have to tell you, I come from a non-musical family. And my brother's like, I'm probably not going to watch that. And he watched it because there's people involved who in the characters that aren't necessarily musical theater fans, Keenan Michael Key's character. And Mark, my brother, calls me and goes, I watched it. I liked it. Yeah. And for me, that was the best review of all.
That's the glowing review from your brother?
Well, the fact when it came out and I said, so they're taking Brigadoon and they had to have the balls to call it Schmigadoon and then to make it as comedically sharp and with such an attitude is great. And we just found it enchanting. And wonderful and very, very funny in an aggressive way. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Keegan
was, thank you guys. Keegan was always saying, this is, you know, we're trapped in the musical. And I said, to me, that sounds like heaven. our director, Barry Sonnenfeld, said, I hate musicals. This is hell on earth. And I said, don't ever say that to me. Don't ever say that to me. It was so funny. It was fun. We did it. We did it in the height of pandemic. We wore cones around our heads like we've been spayed and neutered. And then we got, you know, we were very safe. And can you believe we were lucky enough not to have anybody in our cast come down with COVID? And it was like a little blessing. So thank you for that support.
No, love it. Yeah.
We're very proud of it.
So I want to ask you because I have a 16-year-old daughter. We are currently raising a musical theater girl in our household.
Yay.
And I love it because I did musical theater when I was in high school, so I'm a big fan. But what I love about this is I will be in a room watching television. She'll be in the kitchen doing dishes, and you hear her singing. So she recently auditioned for Anastasia. So for the last couple of weeks, she was singing Anastasia things. I know that singing is part of your career, but is it something that you do around the house as well?
Oh, my gosh. Have you seen my TikTok?
No. I guess I need to follow you now on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm afraid for you. But, yes, during the pandemic, I was singing everything. And my boyfriend, my fiancé, was filming. I would, like, practice my high notes whilst, you know, Cloroxing everything. And he caught him on TikTok, and it became a viral thing. And, you know, for us artists, singers, dancers, actors, comedians, during panic, it was hell on earth because we have no audience. When you find yourself singing to a coat rack, you know it's time to get out. You know it's time to leave.
Right.
So yeah, I think music and singing is everywhere. Sometimes Josh, my fiance, we'll be in the grocery store and I won't even be aware and he'll go, Case, Chris, you're singing now. Like, oh crap, I'm singing. I understand your daughter. Like, to me, music is the universal language, and I can't shut myself up sometimes.
It's great. Don't stop doing it. And and besides, you're incredibly busy. You have a lot going on, but we wish you the best with everything. National Champions in theaters now, streaming on December 28th, and we hope you have a great holiday. Kristen, get some rest, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you. Give Philadelphia my love. You know I love it there.
You got it. Kristen Chenoweth, guys. She's so sweet, and she's super talented. Singing, dancing, acting, the whole thing.
I'm guessing West Coast.
Probably. Yeah. Sounded like she was definitely
a little sleepy, but delightful.
Bed. Yep. All right, and that means I'm done noticing. And we should take
the
a break.
The notes are wrapped up in the interview.
I did.
How about that?
Yeah. And how about we do this? Christmas Miracle.
Uh-huh.
That is correct. Yeah. We have Christmas Miracle passes to give away. And I tell you what, we'll take callers 11, 12, and 13 at 215-263-WMMR. It's tomorrow. You heard me. Callers 11, 12, and 13. You can bring a friend. Only you will be qualified to get up on stage should we draw your name to be at the podium and play our trivia Preston and Steve game. But listen, wear an ugly sweater because the Miller Lite ugly sweater is a huge prize for the winner with the ugliest, what we deem to be the ugliest sweater.
Absolutely.
And it's happening tomorrow. So let's take those callers now. 215-263-WMMR. Back in a moment.
The holidays are upon us, and this Friday, WMMR's DJs celebrate in their own unique way. Starting around 10:30 Pierre Standard Time, it's the almost famous Pierre Robert's Christmas Eve Radio Spectacular. Full of holiday cheer with songs and special greetings.
Jackson's holiday ho-ho-ho down follows with everything that rocks your Christmas Eve, which then leads us to Jackie Bam Bam's annual Santa Tracker Christmas Eve special. That's going to help guide Santa right to your home.
Is this the best Christmas ever or what?
Top 20.
What?
Happy holidays from the station that always takes the milk and cookies and leaves the carrots. The reindeer want those. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your Christmas Eve.
Alice in Chains brings us up 9:27 on Monday morning, Preston and Steve Show. Welcome to it. 40 degrees and sunshine today. We have a deadline on our gingerbread studio contest.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's tomorrow. So if you want to get your submission in, you got to get on it and get that finished and get it to us. We have a $500 prize. Marissa says a few really good submissions came in over the weekend.
I like that.
I'm excited now.
Next year, if we do it, we'll have to just start with crack houses.
Yeah, we'll start with crack houses and see where we go from there. But we will be displaying the finals and the winner after we get everything taken care of. We're going to have to do... Man, we're going to have to do that on Wednesday, right before we, our last day before we head
off. Yeah.
So we'll make sure we get to that. Let's take another look at NJM Insurance Group traffic. What's going on, Kathy?
We'll start in Delaware, 95 southbound at Martin Luther King Boulevard, exit 6. The off-ramp closed for construction. 95 northbound out of the northeast, your stop from Girard to the Betsy Ross Bridge. There's an accident. Two lanes are blocked. South on 95 jams from Bridge through to Allegheny. Schuylkill eastbound heavy. Montgomery into Spring Garden. On the westbound side, you're slowing from City to Belmont. On the Vine, westbound, that's slow. The Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill Expressway. We've got an accident in Narberth, Montgomery Avenue at Wynwood. And then in New Jersey, 55 northbound jams from Deptford to the 42 freeway over the Commodore Barry Bridge westbound direction. You're jammed. The roadway, there's some construction, so two lanes are closed. And then on the Walt Whitman Bridge westbound, we've got the right lane closed. This traffic report brought to you by Audible. Audible is best-selling audiobooks, exclusive originals, and podcasts all in one app. This holiday season, treat yourself with 60% off your first 3 months. Just visit audible.com for more details. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
As I was sitting here sipping on my piping hot cocoa.
Yes.
Notice I said cocoa.
What they say in the Hallmark movies. Mm-hmm. Anyone for cocoa?
I thought of something, Steve. Last night, my family and I went out dual ice cream run. We try to do that a lot. And I was in milkshake mode, and I got... Ooh. And this made me think of... So the Feast of the Seven Pickles has been canceled.
Right.
You know, the rise
sadly
of COVID cases, unfortunately. But I started thinking of little niche things like pickles. You know, that why would people be so fascinated?
Why?
Like, there's a pickle festival and all this stuff. And I thought about something, Steve, last night, because I got that milkshake.
Right.
I got a malt, and I know how much you
love
malted malt
milkshakes.
And I was thinking about...
Some don't understand why we love them.
What if there were, like, a dinner where it was malt was included.
Everything was
throughout
malt.
The entire meal. Because I realized...
Malt meal?
You know what else I love? Is malt vinegar.
Malt vinegar.
You ever have malt vinegar on, like, French fries and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
It's fan-freaking-tastic.
It is damn good.
That's a different malt, though, right? I mean...
No.
Really?
Yeah, malt is... well, you know what? In fact, I wanted... Nick... Can you look up what is malt exactly?
And Nick, while you're looking it up, find out if Malta is actually made of malt.
The entire island.
Yes.
Yeah.
Malta.
Yeah.
It has to do with...
Yo, ever heard of jerk meat?
No, look Sorry, up malt.
I was looking up something different, and then that popped up.
All right, it's a grain. All right, it's a germinated yes. cereal grain that has been dried in a process known as malting.
Really? That's kind of lame.
You malt malt?
Yeah.
We're malting our malt.
Couldn't you come up with another word?
The grain is made to germinate by soaking in water and then is then halted from germinating further.
Wait,
by
you halt the malt?
Well, here you go, Preston.
So by drying it with hot
Kathy
air.
And I are in sync on that one.
All right, here you go.
Malted grain is used to make beer, whiskey, malted milk, malt vinegar, confections such as...
Malted milk balls?
Maltesers and Whoppers.
There you go.
Whoppers.
Flavored drinks such as Horlicks.
Horlicks?
What's a Horlicks?
I don't know, but you pay $20 extra for it.
Ovaltine and Milo and some baked goods such as malt loaf.
Malt loaf?
I've never heard of malt
loaf. No. If it, does it taste like a malted milk ball? I'm on board.
Or a meatloaf thing. I don't know. Bagels and rich tea biscuits.
Rich tea biscuits and bagels?
Mm.
I love a good biscuit.
Do you carry rich tea biscuits from the island of Malta?
Rich is capitalized, so I guess it's a brand.
I'm just telling you, you need to hold your malt.
Malted grain. That has ground into a coarse meal is known as sweet meal.
So Ovaltine is malt, right?
Yeah, that came right after Horlicks.
Right.
Horlicks, Ovaltine, and Milo or Milo, which I've not heard of.
Mm, okay. All right, well, maybe
I love
not
Ovaltine. I love malted milkshakes.
I like Horlicks.
I love Whoppers. Mm. I love Horlicks.
I like heard all of those things.
I love, yeah.
I don't know what Horlicks.
Rusty trombones.
It was developed by James and William Horlick.
Ooh, it says here.
The Horlick brothers.
Yeah. Horlick is a sweet malted milk hot drink powder developed by founders James and William Horlick.
They share the patent with the Slutsuckers.
Okay.
The family that lived next door.
Oh, Horlick's okay. Live next.
The Slutsuckers.
The Slutsuckers.
Right.
Okay.
Remember.
I didn't know that. Wow. No. Okay. All right. Well, anyhow.
Now I want malted milk. Now I want a malted milkshake.
I had vanilla malt. Mm. Oh, my God. It was so good.
Some people hate it.
Oh, I love
don't.
It.
I love it. I think I'm not a fan.
Are you sure?
You can double up on the malt for me.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I'm not sure. But the word malt, if I see it in something, I never get it.
I will tell you this.
But I don't know. Maybe did I try it and I know I don't like it? I'm not sure. But if it has that word, I'm not getting it.
You know the ice creamery? It's at the top of Ridge as you're heading into like Roxborough area.
Yep.
All right. So they make a mother effer malted milkshake. Now they're closed for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you got to get a place that's going to do it right. But it is when I've had like procedures or whatever, like after I had my achalasia surgery, you know, to cure my swallowing issue, my treat was that malted milkshake.
Give me like an idea of what malt tastes like.
Like a Whopper. You ever have a Whopper?
Oh, I hate Whoppers.
Then you're not going to like
it.
I hate malt.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
All right,
done. That's it. That's the very essence of malt.
I love it.
Sticking with it.
I love it.
All right. This was interesting. Kathy pointed this out to me. Marissa did as well. There is a documentary that comes out tomorrow on Hulu. It is called No Good Deed.
Yes.
And it is about the homeless guy who gave his last $20 to Kate McClure was her name.
John Bobbitt.
For gasoline. John Bobbitt was his name. Yes. The documentary is on tomorrow night on Hulu. Now, are we in this documentary?
I was asking the same question. They appeared on the show. They came out to the Camp Out for Hunger. Mind you, they had also been on Good Morning America, The Today Show, all sorts of national news programs. It was the holidays. It was a feel-good story.
Yeah. Marissa?
So this documentary was made with our friends at 6ABC, and they reached out to us because we were one of like the three appearances that this trifecta made. Unfortunately, our video from that day is lost.
What?
It was corrupted.
What?
So I know.
How convenient.
But because we are radio, you know, right, Steve?
Yeah.
It's like
how
doomed.
Convenient.
Because we have radio, we have backup. So we were able to send over photos from Brian Miller, Chorus Photography.
All right.
Obviously took some photos, and we had all of the interview with them. So hopefully they'll use that as audio.
So there may be something. We don't know.
So is this like an hour long? Is this how long is this?
I don't know. Maybe if we look it up on the Hulu website, it'll let us know how long it is. But there's a good chance that we're in it.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
If they make a dramatization,
I hope we're connected.
Yes. Yeah. We better. Are you kidding me? We help promote a felon. We at least should be in there.
We're in the Hall of Fame. We're going to be okay.
We'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how this is. I hope a lot of people watch it. You know,
I want to watch it.
Well, Chris Hemsworth is playing John Bobbitt. So.
Oh my God! Yeah. Well, that's going to draw.
He'll give you my last 20.
So that'll be tomorrow on Hulu. So if you're looking for something kind of cool,
it is a classic crazy story though, Preston, about people who enter into this and how greed, like you've mentioned, Nick, you've invoked a simple plan.
Yeah, great book. Great movie as well. And these guys win the lottery and then all hell breaks loose. And it's, there are three people in this story where, you could smell that something was going to go wrong, and eventually it did.
All right, so anyhow, that's on tomorrow night. All right, listen, all that aside, those were just last-minute things I thought of, but this is initially what I wanted to talk about. I have a weird little physical anomaly about me. Well, sort of. I guess it's kind of physical. It has to have to
do... Do you fart mold?
To do with my body for something. God, I wish.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
What was that smell?
What are you doing? I'm just going to stay in the car for a while.
I mean, that one chick is making $45,000 a week for...
Yeah.
Fart, yes. Reality star.
Every morning when I wake up and I am doing my standard preparations for the day.
Do you say a little prayer for me?
Nope. I'm naked at this point.
All right.
The shower is running.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to brush my teeth. I look down and I have a little lint deposit in my belly button. Every single morning. I knew she would react.
Does it extend out past the boundaries of your...
No, it doesn't, like, it's not popping out.
It's not like the head of a troll doll?
But I mean, every day without fail. So
like
much
it's like hanging out a little?
No. I can see it.
Is
you know,
matted?
So much so that I'm thinking about starting a little collection.
Oh, please don't. Please don't do that.
Why?
Why not?
Actually, this one, I'm on board with this one.
Thank you, Nick.
What?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd like a jar.
I would like to see how much I can collect. You know, maybe I can start doing it at the new year and see in a calendar year how much belly button lint I've collected. And listen, it's weird because sometimes it will be...
What do you do with it?
Well, it'll be a color
that
I'm like... That's not the shirt that I was wearing all day today.
Right. This is not my beautiful wife.
It's like a dark navy blue. Usually. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
Wait. God. You mean to tell me that your navel lint, navy blue, is a blue color and you're nowhere near any sort of blue?
Sometimes.
Same. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, hold on. I want to sort this out. Mm-hmm. So do you wash inside your belly button when you're in the shower?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I think that's
it. Stick my finger in there?
I think that's it. I think it's building up. And
everything about you is about cleanliness.
Listen, I'm sorry that I clean my belly button.
Go ahead. Anyway, continue.
I think that's what it is. I think you're saying like navy blue, but you never wore... are you getting like pinks and reds sometimes?
No, here's the deal. I take it out every morning.
I know.
He doesn't leave it in there like an animal.
Yeah. Come on, Kath.
But I think throughout the day, or if you shower, do you shower at all after work or... In the evening?
No, if I exercise, I will, but
so, like, if you're not
always
cleaning in there, it's just building up. And maybe that's what you're pulling out, and maybe that's why it's navy blue, but you didn't wear a navy blue shirt.
Would that come out after your shower? Normal showering process with the water cascading down.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, but anyhow, I take it out before I go in. What do you mean?
Let me see your belly button. Does it go, like, you need to clean in there. Let me see. Yeah, you think it's just going to fall out?
No, I take it out.
No. I'm talking about when you get in the shower and clean. Like, if there was anything in there, you'd need to clean in there.
I have done that before I get in the shower. I told you. This is me. I'm naked. I'm
just brushing
my teeth. The shower's on, ready to go. I'll look down. I go, oh, yeah, there's another one. A little lint button.
But Steve asked you if you think that just the water running down your belly button is
cleans it out.
Sure.
So I actually have a cordless drill that I will put into my navel.
Okay.
All right.
You clean your belly button.
Yes,
I know you do.
I do. Yeah, I do again. Too.
My showering habits, Preston, are different than yours. I shower at night. I don't shower in the morning. So my belly button lint collection happens during the day.
How do you think that happens, Nick? Well,
it's often blue. So I don't know. I'm wearing kind of like a black shirt now. I want to check the color of the lint when I get home. When I check it, Steve, is usually when I sit down on the toilet. I'll look down and I'm like, oh, there's some. And then I pull it out. So
it's one of the joys of being a guy.
Yeah. I don't pull it out during or, while showering.
No. Because that lint is probably keeping your navel warm.
I have a number of texts come in here. It says, I wear a white undershirt every day, and I get navy blue belly button lint every day.
All the time.
All right, what the
How does
on?
That happen?
Here's another one. It says, my dad saved his belly button lint for over a year and wanted to make a pin cushion for my mom. There wasn't enough. And also, my wife and I bought Branchy from County Line Nursery.
Oh, please take
sticker. Take some pictures.
But a number of texts said, Preston, do it. I have the same thing every morning. And to answer Kathy's question, I do clean my belly button.
And it still doesn't matter.
Another one says, same exact thing happens to me. This one says, all listeners, collect their belly button lint and do a contest. Loser will have to get all of his lint glued to their face like a beard.
Oh, I like
resave
that.
It, and that will be my fantasy football punishment next year.
I think that's good.
But hold on. I don't ever have lint in my belly button, do you?
No. When I go to clean, and I clean, I use my index finger in the shower, and I just kind of clean it out. Now, I never really have anything, but it's just part of that process. Now,
do you have hair around your belly button?
I do not.
No.
How about you?
No.
Then that might be the difference.
How about me?
Nick, you have to have hair around your belly button, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Kathy is very cleanly.
Watch it.
No, you just, I don't think you have the proper belly button for lint collection.
Okay. No, you need a like 6-7 inches deep, right?
Right, yeah.
Do you get bung dust?
I get top of the butt crack lint.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that I get
that.
It's
got to be the hair. Do you have hair at the top of your butt crack?
Yeah. Do you want to look?
No, but it's
Do you
want to
lick
hair.
Or look? Do you want to lick?
You want to lick?
Yeah. It's like a Tootsie Pop.
Hang on a second.
How many licks does it take to get to your bung hair?
Tech says, dudes, I have navy blue belly button lint as well. I always thought that it was from my thermals I wear, but now I don't know. I pull it out before every shower.
Quick question, Preston. Is this the case through the summer and the fall? All of the seasons.
It
doesn't matter. Yep. So that you're not. It's not the heavier clothes.
I'm telling you, every day, man.
All right.
Almost every day that I can recall. Now that I'm going to start saving it, I'll have a better record to keep up.
Do you think
this.
You were visited during the night by lint fairies?
Maybe there's some kind of little elfin visitor or something like that.
Who pack your navel full of blue lint?
What are the ones that come in and do shoes, that fix shoes in the middle of the night or something like that?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, I do know.
It might be elves. I don't know. All right. Anyhow, people ask. So this is from theguardian.com.
Right. Okay, which is the preeminent expert on belly button lint.
Is it bad to pick belly button lint out of your belly button? Is it normal to have gunk in your belly button? Why is my belly button lint always blue? So here you go.
God. Oh, wow. It's even spelled the British way for colored.
As that is the natural color of the cotton which forms your clothing. Oh. The sweat caught in your belly button. I know you're loving this, Kathy.
See, it is dirty.
Helps the blue diffuse from the cotton into the fluff, giving the familiar sight.
Wow.
Wow.
How about that?
So as long as you have a filthy, rancid navel, you'll get that blue color.
It says nothing about having a filthy, rancid navel.
I probably read into that.
Let me go to Jeanette. Hi, Jeanette. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Jeanette.
Thank you.
What do you want to tell us?
So my husband has had this problem for years, never knew about it before I met him. And for Christmas this year, I got him a belly a lint brush for his belly button. It's on Etsy.
Let me ask, Preston, you have quite a wonderful grooming kit. Is a belly button a utensil in there, or is it something that needs to happen, like my drill, or as Jeanette was saying, a lint brush for your navel?
My grooming kit. I don't need, like, metal to get in there or anything like that.
Everything is
made of a metal, and I don't want to go picking around in my belly button with something like that.
What about...
Preston?
Yeah.
If this is a newfound discovery, please don't put it on your wife's pillow like my husband does.
She puts it on your pillow?
Awful.
I find it all over, but he'll specifically put it on my pillowcase.
Kathy, you would die. That's hilarious. You would die. Preston.
I love it, Jeanette. Thank you.
This might be something for you. What if periodically through the day, you just take one of those creme brulee torches?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Caramelize it.
Yeah.
I will go to Dan. Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Dan?
I collect my belly button lint in a jar, and I keep it on my dresser. My wife and I joke that when I pass, she's going to open it up and sniff it daily.
Dear God.
Your essence is in there. Oh, my God. Dan, how long have you been collecting it?
The other day, I was in the shower, and I looked down and noticed I'd forgotten to take it out, and it got washed down into the drain.
Oh, my God. Man, when you miss a day, it's got to be devastating.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah.
How long have you been collecting it?
Probably like 6 months now. It's really not very, it's less than you would think.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. I have a feeling I'm going to be disappointed. I mean, because I see it every day and I'm like, that's got to add up, but probably not.
Do you go back then to recollecting your dead foot skin?
No, I don't. I always throw that away.
Okay.
All right, Dan. Thank you.
I'm going to keep at it.
All right, thanks. Please.
How the degrees of blue? Have you ever had like a real? Besides you have, you said navy blue. Have you ever had a real neon blue or
no lighter?
Lighter,
okay. Blue. All Nick, right. Like baby blue, you know, powder blue, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and if I'm wearing a navy blue shirt, it'll probably even be a darker blue.
Darker. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. How about that crap?
There's science involved.
I have a friend who is, it's sort of like a fear, I guess, of, or maybe like the sensation or something. She can't stick her finger in her belly button, so she doesn't clean it. She doesn't pull anything out of it. She just can't.
She's going to hate all this stuff.
No, I understand. And listen, I'm not kidding. If I root around in my belly button a little bit,
you get off.
I can feel it in my penis.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Do you think they're connected?
Yes.
Huh.
I do.
I can feel it like in my gut, but not in my...
I can feel it all the way down to my jimmy.
How deep are you going in?
As far
down
as
to your piece.
Oh. Boner alert. A knuckle.
Okay.
Yeah, I can kind of. Right.
So that's still a good distance from your penis.
And then, you know what? And I'm curious about that too.
Wait, hang on.
Do you think if you
anybody else feel a little thing, and it doesn't feel good by any stretch, I kind of feel
it's
in my urethra.
I don't
to
like
be
it.
Honest,
do you think
I don't like it either? It's...
Could you go in through your urethra?
Check it out, Kathy.
And get to my belly north button? And pop your belly button out.
Like it, make it an Audi.
Ew, you pulled something out.
That's a path I'm not going to take. Did you find some lint in there?
I did, yeah. It's,
oh my
it is
God.
Blue.
It is okay. Blue.
It's
I
small
it.
Because I showered last night. Kathy, smell it.
No!
then just taste it.
Mine's a fair amount when I get it out of there. Casey, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Is this grossing you out?
This is grossing me out.
Casey, do you clean your belly button?
No, not specifically, okay.
I got excited.
I have to clean my belly.
Thought maybe he was on our team.
It's part of my ritual.
Hang on, let me go to Nancy.
Team clean belly button.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you? Sorry to bother you at work.
No,
talk
it's okay.
About belly buttons, and I just had to share.
Okay.
I'm one of six kids, and my mom was always Mrs. Clean. Everyone would always say, oh, there's Mrs. Clean, there's six kids. She used to lay us out on the kitchen table to clean our belly buttons. She used to put alcohol in there and clean it with a Q-tip.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yes. So she had you use alcohol and a Q-tip to clean out your belly
button? Yes.
I think a regular shower or a bath would clean it just fine.
Well, we were younger. I guess we're at the age where your mom's still bathing you, whatever. But to make sure you're extra clean, it would be clean the belly button. And in fact, she used to clean her own so much the doctor... She made it bleed. The doctor was like, you have to stop. You have to stop.
I knew a woman who would do a similar thing, and she used, Preston, she used Bentadine, which is apparently a very, very thorough cleaning disinfectant, like about the level. You get prescribed it, I think, if you have some sort of rash condition, and that was her normal soap. And she was, like, killing all the...
Bentadine.
Yeah, like positive bacteria. This is years ago, so I'm not exactly sure. So she was actually, the doctor said, stop it, because you're actually hurting yourself by doing this. And she thought she was being completely clean and hygienic, and she was... doing the exact opposite.
Okay. I'm getting people concurring with feeling it in the nether regions. This is my boyfriend. Wow. It's exact same issue. Wait, she says, oh my God, I'm a girl. And yes, if I put my finger in my belly button, I feel like I have to pee. All right. And my boyfriend is the exact same issue, and we have no clue why. And another girl said she feels it in her nanny hoo-hoo. And a few other guys said, this one says, yeah, I feel it in the junk. You have to bottom out a fingertip in belly button, then push, and you can feel it.
Let me ask you this. If you insert, or if you place, I mean, how can I get away with this, a Maglite fully into your butt.
Shut up.
Go on.
Will you taste a metallic taste in the back of your throat?
I don't know.
Is the flashlight end pointed out or in?
The flashlight is pointed in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's... harsh. I don't know.
Well, you want it to
work. And listen, from time to time over the years, I even mentioned it to Dr. Mike, and he kind of brushed it off a little bit, that I will get a very painful sensation that feels almost what I would think like a urinary infection would feel like. And it starts in my belly button and then goes down.
Is this after you just finger blasted your navel?
No. This is just out of nowhere. And it's happened several times in my life. It's not chronic or anything like that. Oh, we have to wrap up?
Yeah, a little bit.
We are making medical discoveries here of, I think, great import.
Hang on a second. Let me go to Jessica. She's a nurse, and she has something interesting about this. Hi, Jessica. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Jessica?
So I just heard you guys talking about belly buttons, and we have to prep people to go into surgery. So we have these long Q-tips that we have to use to clean out people's belly buttons. And it is
nasty.
Well, let me ask you, so that obviously then is sort of a germ liability if you're going into surgery, right? I mean...
Yeah. We have to use this solution called chlorhexidine, and it's like a disinfectant. Because people sometimes get surgeries where they get cut, you know, incisions right down the middle, so it has to be clean.
So when I had the robotic prostatectomy, there were small incisions around my navel. And so I assume they did it for that as well, right? I mean, be part of the deal. All right. Wow. Okay.
And so, yeah, I would imagine, as is, you don't want anything getting into an open wound. You guys have to clean that out thoroughly, right?
Yeah. So some people's belly buttons are really
rank.
The Q-tip we have is probably 5 inches long, and sometimes I, like, can't believe how far in it goes.
Oh. Some people have really deep belly buttons.
Can you take a full fiver into your navel, Preston?
No, I have a shallow belly button. That's a good name for a band, shallow belly button. I got to write that down. All right, thank you, Jessica. I appreciate it. All right, well, anyhow, I think I'm going to start collecting my belly button.
I think you need to.
Nick and I can have a contest so you can collect the most over a year.
Do that.
A year-long contest. I'm all about 2022, by the way. I got some great ideas that I probably will never implement for next year.
No, we're going to make sure this one happens.
I will share them with you.
I want to see both you guys looking like ZZ Top by mid-January.
And if you, I'm glad to know that I'm not alone about the feeling it in my Johnson. Or a lot of people say it makes them want to pee. When they push in their belly button.
Can you bring yourself to completion?
No.
Stop it.
We're going to take a break.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. And we'll do, you know what? A Christmas miracle. Caller number 13. You get the Christmas miracle pass for tomorrow. You know the deal. 215-263-WMMR. Yeah. Tomorrow morning, Parks Casino. Let's get you there. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shops.
That's right, and this month's artist is John Fay. I'll just orbit, keep on spinning till I'm dead, singing whoa. John Fay, your Local Shots artist of the month. Check him out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Philly.
Oh, man, do we have some stories from the Bizarre File to get to. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Revivalist. Liven up your holidays with award-winning Resurgent Bourbon and Revivalist Gin delivered to your door. You can go to RevivalistSpirits.com. The botanical experts voted USA Today's top craft gin distillery and get 15% off with the promo code ROCK. Cheers to you. All right. It's one of the weirdest stories I've seen in a while, man. Enraged monkeys have killed 250 dogs in an Indian district by dragging them to the tops of buildings and trees and dropping them to their deaths.
Wow.
That's awful.
And they've done it out of a vendetta. So panic-stricken residents have also come under attack and say that the acts of animal violence have been carried out in revenge after a pack of dogs killed one of the monkey's infants.
So they're doing it... Wow. This is all sorts of bizarre, horrible, on both sides.
According to India's News 18 website...
It's like the dog and monkey West Side Story.
Totally, yeah. Not a single pup is left in Lavul, where even school children are being chased and attacked. Villagers They've reported that monkeys set upon dogs as soon as they see them before taking them up to a high place, the top of a building or a tree, and then dropping them to their death. The report says that in the last month alone, 250 dogs have been killed this way.
These are what size dogs are we talking?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Pictures in India media appeared to confirm the attacks. In one, a monkey can be seen on a roof carrying a puppy to the edge of the building.
Hey, it's a monkey!
Separate footage, possibly... Positive the incident that sparked the revenge attack showed dogs chasing monkeys through the village as local women and children ran for safety. The dogs appeared to be protecting a child. Residents of the village contacted officials at the forest department asking that they round up the killer monkeys. However, when officers were sent to the village, they were unable to catch even one of the primates.
Huh.
After the officials failed to deal with the problem, villagers reported they took it upon themselves to try and save the dogs. But when they did that, the monkeys fought back against their efforts, with the news station reporting that men even fell from heights themselves while trying to save dogs that had been dragged there. I mean, there's a war going on here.
It's a war.
Clearly not to... Not content with the extermination of the dogs, monkeys are now said to be going after young children.
I say dust off and nuke the site from the from orbit.
From orbit, yeah. School children are reportedly being attacked by the monkeys, creating a further sense of panic among the villagers. In one reported instance, an 8-year-old was grabbed and dragged away by the monkeys, forcing villagers to throw stones at them to scare them
off. So they're grabbing an 8-year-old. That's a decent size.
Yeah.
I think you need to bring in some Great Danes and Bull Mastiffs.
That is just crazy, man. So we'll
see. That's a nightmare.
What they do to rectify that problem. All right, a much lighter story. And I like this one. It's pretty simple, but you'll see why. The quaint town of Greens Harbor in Canada recently found their way into the news thanks to an unnamed reckless driver from the nearby town of Dildo, Newfoundland.
Dildo, Newfoundland. What a perfect name.
To Royal Canadian Mounted Police Traffic Services, Richard, we'll call him, was more than doubling the posted speed of 50 miles per hour.
Is it Dick from Dildo?
Clocked at 108. Only making things harder for himself shortly after he blew by police. He lost control of the small white Civic and plunged deep into a ditch. Fortunately, there were no injuries, and Richard has been charged with excessive speeding, which carries a hefty fine.
Big Dildo.
So there is a town called Dildo, believe it or not.
Of course there is.
Wow. All right, how about this one? This is in West Virginia. So a man was taken to the hospital Thursday afternoon after an oxygen tank exploded. The explosion happened just before 12:30 p.m. at a home. According to the state fire marshal, a man was outside of his home beating an oxygen tank with a hammer.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Right? Yeah. You know how you do that.
It's always a good
idea. Sitting out here hitting on my oxygen
tank. What's in this thing?
Yeah.
What's in this thing here? Come on, open up. Damn it.
Officials say the tank exploded, sending debris about a block away, hitting a parked car. The man was taken to the hospital with burns.
Well, I found out what was in it.
No word on his condition, by the way. A teenager put his emergency skills to test last week after his mom fell and cut her wrist. Kristen Larbino was walking down the stairs of her front yard last week when she slipped and fell. She said, I looked down at my slippers, and then moments later, she was on the ground in her front yard, bleeding from her wrist.
Fell or pushed by a monkey?
She said, I guess my hand went out and the mug broke, and then I landed on the mug, so the pieces of the ceramic mug cut my wrist. After hearing her call out, her 16-year-old son, Cyrus, jumped into action. He said she's holding her wrist and saying, call 911, and I was like, a broken wrist? And then I grabbed a towel and I saw how bad it actually was. They knew it would take at least 15 minutes for an ambulance to get there, and after realizing how much blood there was, the dispatcher instructed Cyrus to find items for a tourniquet.
Wow.
He said, I had these new shoes that I just bought, like brand new, and I ripped the strings right off of them like some subconscious Hulk strength. He said the guy on the phone kind of just said, tie it around and make it look like a clock. And I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy, but I had never seen one before, and I know that it's not the same. I don't know what he means by that. When EMTs got to the house, they got Kristen on an IV, took her to the hospital, and after two surgeries, she's back home and in a long road to recovery. But they are grateful for Cyrus's ability to stay calm under pressure. But he ripped off his shoelaces and tied him into a tourniquet and saved her life.
That's amazing.
Yep.
And he doesn't even watch Grey's Anatomy.
One last story.
Or does.
Florida Fish and Wildlife officers were called to the scene of a rollover accident involving two alligators earlier this month.
Why were they driving?
When officers arrived at the scene, they found the more than 6 foot, six and 8 foot long alligators hanging out of the rear window of a white late model Ford Explorer resting on its side. The suspects found on the scene, Carlos Perlada and Devin Medrano, admitted to killing the gators while they were fishing. They said that they loaded them into the SUV to transport them. Both alligators did expire. The suspects are facing charges. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for
you. Some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I'm telling you. All right. These are the last two I'm giving away. This is it, and we are done.
Oh, boy.
Tomorrow's a Christmas miracle. We'll take callers 20 and 21.
It's a Christmas miracle!
Yes.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! 215-263-WMMR. You need to be there early. It starts at 6 a.m. You need to be there before then, if you can, to Parks Casino. And we will set you up. You can bring a friend, but only you're going to be qualified to be called up to the podium, possibly, to get up there and answer questions about the President Steve Show. Maybe walk out a big winner. We will find out tomorrow morning, but you are our last callers that are getting on board. And don't forget the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Contest.
We're giving away Miller Lite beer for a year and an outdoor viewing package, which includes a video projector, Miller Lite Philadelphia Eagles blanket, two Miller Lite lawn chairs, and a Miller Lite cooler as well.
Wow.
Pretty sweet deal just for wearing a sweater. So, we will see you tomorrow morning as we broadcast live from Parks Casino in Bensalem. We're going to take a break. Come right back. Lesson question, trash, music news coming up.
Preston and Steve. Their name is their address.
On the web. PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It is a Monday and all that Monday glory, but with the beauty of a short work week for us, hopefully for you as well. You have some time coming up with the holidays, a little bit off, which should be fantastic. In the meantime, though, while you're thinking about that, we have a chance for you to win a prize. I have a lesson question, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Stomp. December 28th at the Miriam Theater. It's a 7:30 show. Stomp is a blast.
It's great.
Man.
They sent. Did you see we got Stomp kits?
Yeah. They sent trash can lids and drumsticks.
You and I should do a Stomp thing.
We should do that. We'll get right on that.
People would love that.
So the question is, who do the Horlicks share the malted milk patent with? 215-263-WMMR. Who do the Horlicks share their malted milk patent with? 215-263-WMMR. Call now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, I'm going to guess that the trash is brought to you by Revivalist.
Revivalist.
Pretty sure.
Yes.
You can liven up your holidays with award-winning Resurgent Bourbon and Revivalist Gin delivered to your door. You go to RevivalistSpirits.com, the botanical experts.
They're great.
USA Today's top craft gin distillery, and you get 15% off with the promo code ROCK. So cheers. What's going on?
Well, online celebrity site JustJared.com reporting that Kendall Jenner was seen out and about having a, quote, busy afternoon on Friday. An emotional Jenner later admitted that things got busy because she had many things to do in a limited amount of time. More on this as it develops.
Nice.
38-year-old country singer Jonna Kramer revealing why she's choosing now to talk about her brief affair with Jay Cutler earlier this year. Kramer says now seemed the best time to bore people to death.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go. And finally, 41-year-old Kim Kardashian and 29-year-old Pete Davidson were seen catching a movie at a multiplex on Staten Island over the weekend. Kim is completely prepped for the evening, having packed Pete a baggie full of Cheerios. So they were all set. That's your Hollywood trash.
All right, let's see if we can find an answer to the lesson question. Who did the Horlicks share the malted milk patent with? 215-263-WMMR. I'll go to Jason, see if we can get an answer there. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Uba.
Uba. Uba. All right. Who did the Horlicks share the malted milk patent with?
Slutsuckers.
You nailed it, Jason. Hang on. You just got yourself a pair of tickets to Stomp, December 28th at 7:30 at the Marion Theater. And Stomp is explosive, inventive, provocative, witty, and utterly unique. An unforgettable experience for audiences of all ages. You can see what all the noise is about December 28th through January 2nd. And tickets are available at KimmelCenter.org.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All righty, we will start with Brandon Boyd from Incubus. He's released a new solo track, and it just came out on Friday. He wrote on Instagram, my new single, Petrichor.
Oh.
What?
There's a fish song called Petrichor. Anyway.
Okay, spelled P-E-T-R-I-C-H-O-R?
Correct.
Okay. Sure. Is up and moving on all streaming platforms, and I hope you all enjoy it. It's a weird and wonderful thing to have a song swimming around in your head for months at a time, and then a moment later, it's born into the wild world. Happy birthday,
Lewis. Do you want to hear it?
Little song, yes. I've heard that before. Yeah. It must be a cover.
It's a cover.
The single comes from his forthcoming album, Echoes and Cocoons, which is set to be released in March. M. Shadows has opened up. The Avenged Sevenfold singer was talking about the ways vocal coach Ron Anderson influenced him in a social media post on Sunday. It was a touching tribute to Anderson, who passed away this weekend at the age of 75. He wrote, in 2004, after Waking the Fallen, I was having trouble with my vocal folds. I had a surgery to remove blood vessels that were bleeding into the folds and causing stiffness. And I heard about Ron's students, Axl Rose, Chris Cornell, Janet Jackson, and decided to go meet with him about helping me and getting through to get through the recovery. What ended up happening was a beautiful friendship with a man I deeply admired. He would do anything for his students. If we were in Europe or Asia and I needed him before a show, he would get up at all hours, jump on FaceTime, and warm me up. He did this for everyone. Said he was easily one of the most important people in my career. And I spent more time in lessons with him than maybe even my own family. He was a master of his craft.
That's wonderful.
And if there is an entity up there, he's teaching them how to do rolled R's and scales to improve their voice.
So he's saying if there's a rock and roll heaven,
yeah,
then he's helping them out.
They got a hell of a band.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, people like that behind the scenes. You never really hear much about.
Unsung heroes.
Yeah. Wolfgang Van Halen says that he won't be sitting in during David Lee Roth's final upcoming Las Vegas shows at the House of Blues. During a chat with Spin, he was pressed about making a cameo during the dates and responded, I don't think so. When pressed that Roth had mentioned an appearance possibly happening, Wolfgang laughed and said, yeah, I know. I don't know about that. Regarding the possibilities of his uncle Alex Van Halen drumming during the run, adding, well, I'm not talking for Al or anything, but I haven't heard. I haven't talked to Al about it, but I mean, that doesn't really seem like something Al would do. He went on to say,
that's a tactful way of saying it.
Yeah, he went on to say, the thing with Van Halen that people should have learned by now is that if it doesn't come from them, then it's not true. And Al has not made any public statements about this, so I wouldn't expect it. If he didn't say it, it's probably not true. People love to talk about Dad and the way he ran the band, but that's not really true. Al's kind of the one who was in charge and in the way that the band publicly sort of related. Wolfgang is currently in the process of updating his and his father's legendary 5150 Los Angeles studio, which was the home to Van Halen and now Mammoth WVH. Since 1983, he was asked about the possibility of him finally going into the archive to deal with his dad's legendary unissued works. He said, like I said, a monumental effort that needs to have its proper time dedicated to, which, you know, it'll happen eventually. But as I said, don't plan on it. Don't wait for it. So they'll eventually get to it, but not for a while. This was sad news. Bassist and composer Leonard Hub Hubbard, one of the earliest members of the Roots, has passed away on December 16th after a long battle with multiple myeloma, a rare form of blood cancer with which he was diagnosed and which led to his departure from the band in 2007. He was 62 years old. The Roots posted, it is with the heaviest of hearts that we say goodbye to our brother Leonard Nelson Hubbard. May your transition bring peace to your family, to your friends and your fans, and all those who loved you. Rest in melody, Hub.
62 is too young.
Yep. Although the Roots were founded in 1987 by Questlove, Amir Thompson, and rapper Tariq Black Thought Trotter, when both were students at Philadelphia's High School for the Creative Art and Performing Arts. At the time, they were originally called the Square Roots. They dropped the square, and a second MC, Malik B, were next to join along with Hubbard. So after dropping Square from the band's name in 1992, the Roots released their independent debut album, Organics, and in 1993. And that album featured Hubbard co-compositions such as Writer's Block and tracks co-penned with Trotter, Thompson, and the ensemble's and keyboardist Scott Storch, who would go on to become a top producer in the following year. So, yeah, way too soon to be
honest
with. That's sad news.
Sad.
And then finally, Sir Rod Stewart and his son Sean pleaded guilty to battery. The pair were first arrested on New Year's Eve 2019 after an incident with a security guard at a Florida hotel. And almost 2 years later, the pair have entered guilty pleas to misdemeanor charges of simple battery. Rod's attorney, Guy Fronstein, said in a statement no one was injured in the incident and a jury did not find Sir Rod Stewart guilty of the accusation. Instead, Rod Stewart decided to enter a plea to avoid the inconvenience and unnecessary burden on the courts and the public that a high-profile proceeding would cause. Rod is 76. Sean is 41. It means they will avoid trial. They will not have to appear in court, do any jail time, pay any fines, or spend any time on probation.
Well, that's a sweetheart deal.
Yeah, that is a sweetheart deal.
To beat him up again.
Rod and Sean have been accused of assaulting security guard Jesse Dixon at Breakers Hotel on December 31st when he refused to allow them into a private party. He claimed that Rod punched him and Sean shoved him, but a spokesperson for the Palm Beach State Attorney, whose office prosecuted the case, said that Dixon agreed with the outcome of the case.
All right.
No big deal from there on out.
And crime of the century.
Yeah, and that is what I have in music news. We have a final break we're going to take before we come back and wrap things up, get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. So make sure you stay with us because we don't want you to miss that. We'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wrapping up our program today. Today was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We learned a lot about each other.
Yeah. We did. We learned about our navels.
About belly button lint.
Yeah.
Various other things.
Early onset dementia.
Doing stupid things. It happens.
It really just reassured things for me.
What?
No, that you're a little gross. Oh.
In a cute way, right?
In a really great way.
Okay, thank you. All right. I would like to thank our guest, Kristen Chenoweth.
Yay!
For being on this morning. She was promoting a movie called National Champions. It's in theaters now, and she's also got a Christmas album out. And
Hallmark Channel.
It's great talent, so it was cool to have her on this morning. And we're wrapping up the program, and in for the hairy one is Sarah Parker! Yay!
Is that what we're calling him now?
Call him whatever.
He's always Hairy One.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Only 40 years at a legendary station, and we're going to call him the Hairy
He's
One.
He's the Hairy One. Yeah.
How's it going, guys? Monday good. Before Christmas. No
Are
less.
You just today or?
Just today. Okay. We get to spend some time together. We're going to have a lot of fun, which means that Pancake is not here, and I have no idea what's going to happen.
Wow.
So it's going to be great.
It's free reign for you. Yes. All right. Well, listen, one of the duties you have to grab is the fact that you have the letter of the day, right?
I can do that.
All right. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter...
S, as in Secret Santa.
All right, and we just have three letters this week, and that's it. We're starting with an S, and we have a pair of tickets to see Greta Van Fleet on April 1st at the Hard Rock Casino, a hotel and casino in Atlantic City, plus a room for the night as well. Tickets for both the April 1st and April 2nd shows are on sale now via... Hard Rock Hotel, AtlanticCity.com. So Wednesday is when we'll give that away. So you have no idea what you're doing today?
I have sort of an idea of what we're doing today. I do know that the workforce blocks will be of Seether for Sean Morgan's birthday, which is tomorrow. We'll do a block of the Black Crows, which is for Chris Robinson's birthday today. And we'll do a block of Christmas tunes. So if you have a request, make sure you text me at 39333. I'll try to get it in for you.
Rock on.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great day today, then.
Yeah, you too. Oh, my gosh. Christmas Miracle tomorrow. You guys excited?
Yep, it's going to be crazy. It. Yeah. Yeah, we haven't been able to do this for a while. So it's very cool. So
we're excited to see how this whole thing goes on. I want to thank our sponsor, President Steve Show, brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the President Steve Show. And as Sarah said, yes, tomorrow it's all about the Christmas miracle. We'll have some special things planned, obviously. Our trivia questions are ready to go. Our contestants getting up on stage. We have great prizes to give away. Maybe a couple of surprise appearances from some friends that'll be there. We're excited for that. And that is it. We are done. Or wait, you know what? Do I have these to give away?
Yeah, you got a couple of those to give away.
Yo, ever heard of Jerkmate?
Oh, man.
I have the last few passes. In fact, there are eight of them left for the Matrix Resurrections tonight. It is at 7 p.m. at the Philadelphia Film Center. So we'll take eight callers right now, 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, Neo and Trinity are back, and the movie is opening in theaters and streaming on HBO Max on December 22nd.
Cool.
That's it. We're done. Rage on, and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.